aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Remember that Mega Millions, $500 million that was won in California July 24th?
One ticket, yes, I remember.
One ticket.
I was supposed to win it. And
but it wasn't one person. It was an office pool that got together to buy one ticket.
And
11 people are in the financial industry. They're not saying where, but near Sacramento, I think.
So I think it was a $300 million automatic payout.
That's right. $320 million.
All right. So this is basically going to be, and he said it's 11 people.
11
so
people.
So it's about $30 million after taxes that those people are going to take.
That's still, my goodness.
Yeah, but you have to decide with 11 people how to take it, the money, and...
What do you mean, how to take it?
If they want to do, they already chose
the
lump sum.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, everybody was want the lump sum. You want the lump sum. You have something's good. Someone has really sold you a bridge somewhere. If you don't want the lump sum,
what does that company do now after all of them retire?
They said
spots to fill.
The members declined to say where they work, other than to say they plan to keep their jobs.
Well,
right.
If they're in the financial services,
like maybe
industry,
just invest it.
This is what they do anyway.
It's true.
Right? They may just work a little less
hard. They don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Well, when the newsroom wins, we're all walking out, just so you guys know.
You guys could have bought that for me for my birthday, if you wanted to, because it was a birthday
lottery
drawing.
Lottery tickets are the best.
Remember that?
I'll do a scratch-off for a birthday, but not a lottery ticket, because if you win, I feel like I should have won, and, you know.
Yeah, that's a bad deal.
That is?
Yeah.
You could win $1 million in a scratch-off.
Oh.
And then we'd still hate her, so.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Be showing
Either
up
way.
My swanky clothes and my
so here
fancy
we,
car.
We want to give you a lotto ticket, Anna, but we don't want you to
See,
win.
See, that's what I'm hearing there. I am hearing that, and I heard that on my birthday when I begged for lottery tickets.
Yeah, you know what you got? You got a cake, all right? It's good enough.
It's what I got.
Cake's
and you
got
good. To watch football. Okay?
Yeah, you got to watch football
I got
my
to
house
watch you and
pre-season.
Kev watch football.
Football.
It was fun watching you and Kev watching preseason football.
We
it was a great party.
We had a nice dinner planned for the whole show. Ro contacts me. Actually, his producer contacts me and says,
"Yes, I don't speak to her."
Hey, listen. Ro wants to watch the football game and eat pizza. I'm like,
"Yeah, it was awesome."
Oh, okay, yeah. The
Happy
reservations
birthday,
I
Anna.
Made on a rooftop in downtown Chicago on a beautiful night in summer. I just scratched those.
I thought it went very well. Ro's got like 30 TVs in his house, so like I was just in this chair that did a full 360. So I was just spinning around, catching Cubs, Bears,
right.
Every game that was on. It was wonderful.
Yeah,
it was
nice. I was like, we definitely thought about Anna when planning this.
Yeah, it was real. I love that. And what's nice is as you go like to get a new drink or you need to kind of freshen up your plate from the buffet, that you don't miss out a minute of the game because there are literally TVs up the stairway on every wall in every room.
It's awesome.
I saw his big screen TV from the street when I couldn't get in the gate. I was like, the TV's on. Someone's there.
That one's really big.
Yeah.
That's right next to the patio.
So, by the way, you got great security. I just walked in with someone else who walked in.
Yeah, I saw that.
So hold that gate for
I
a
saw
second.
That. We actually had these snipers on the roof. They were like, what are we going to do with
hold
this?
Your fire, hold your fire. We know these people.
I think it's Judy. Fire!
I said, hold your fire.
No, I was dodging because I knew something like that
but
was up.
But the pizza was actually really good.
Oh,
it wasn't
delicious.
Like
fantastic
regular pizza. It was very dressed up.
It was
and
doctored
delicious.
Up. Very good. Solid za.
It was fancy pizza. And it was really delicious.
Paired nicely with Miller Lite, if you ask me.
Thank you.
And the wine was excellent, too.
Where was that pizza from?
It's from Bibu.
Bibu. I kept calling it Bibu.
No, Bibu.
How do you spell Bibu?
B-E-B-U.
Bibu.
Bibu.
Love a good Bibu.
Bibu pizza.
Bibus are the at best. Really good.
Yes. And it was. And it really was. Hold on.
What are you doing? Have we lost you?
Hold on. I got a problem.
And Violetta went with a Mickey Mouse theme out of nowhere.
I did. I mean, we liked the Mickey Mouse theme.
It was cute.
It wasn't too crazy. I didn't go crazy.
But then Ro wouldn't let you put balloons up on his nice wall and furniture, so we had to just put them in the middle of the table.
Yeah, and he has this very large, ornate bowl that you're not supposed to put anything in on his table. And then, of course, we filled it with 6 red blown-up balloons. And I thought you should just keep that like that all the time. It looks great.
Right. Because I'm an 8-year-old. Because that's what I need.
Plus,
balloons are very dangerous.
He's got snipers on the roof. I mean, what?
Yeah.
He's not doing that.
Yeah, no, I do. All right. My sniper's broken. Hold on. I don't know what happened to my sniper.
Oh, that's what you're trying to do.
He's like, my toys aren't working. Yeah, you're not an 8-year-old.
Why won't my sniper work?
Is the whole box, the sound box not working? Or is it just the sniper?
Geez.
This is going to be a rough
shoot
show.
Judy walking through my gate.
It's a rough start.
That is.
The audio box isn't working.
Got her.
Okay. Phew. You never see it coming.
Dropped her just like that.
Phew.
Nice try.
Nope.
Nope.
Gosh.
You hit the neighbors. That's a problem.
Do you know this word, indestructible? Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so I got it. So that was, that's the thing. We had, but we I think we did have a nice time.
We did.
I think
it
we
really
did because Anna sent me a very lovely text earlier today, thanking me for it because we had the wine flowing.
Oh, it was
beautiful. We had the cake was great, and then the girls were upstairs. I turned on the
a little Bruno Mars,
the Boogie Woogie music for the kid, for the girls, and then the boys were downstairs in the downstairs watching the football game.
And we thought we lost you because you were just gone.
Classic distraction maneuver. Put some tunes on for the ladies. Let us watch the football.
It was really a great moment where at 5 minutes into the game, Kev goes, yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl. No big deal.
Yeah, these fourth stringers are looking good.
Yeah. All right. So Ed Obradovich is going to join us a little bit later on to tell us whether or not Kev's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to know the answer to that fairly quickly.
I just got really excited football was on, I started thinking big thoughts.
Yeah, I know. We all did. All right. Michael Steele is going to join us coming up right after Judy tells us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
So far, so good when it comes to Lollapalooza.
Violetta.
Then there's this. Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 p.m.
No big deal.
BFF right there.
He's my boy.
He's
Joe Donlin.
We invited him last night, but he had a thing again.
Actually,
he's very busy.
I have some breaking news about Joe.
Uh-oh.
He followed me on Twitter.
What? Yeah. This is the second time you told us that. Michael Steele's got more important things to do than to listen to who's following you on Twitter, Violet. I'll tell you that right now.
Ouch.
I know.
Michael, if you want to follow me, it's Violetta Pod.
Don't.
I will follow you. Absolutely, I will follow you.
Why are you?
Anywhere.
Don't encourage. Don't encourage. Don't encourage. Okay. All right. I need you to, every Friday as I get headed toward the weekend, I'd like to try to relax. I like to try to disengage myself from the wackiness of the week that was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only stuck really on one little thing. Just one. It's just one little thing. Maybe you can explain it to me because I can't understand it. The earlier in the week, you remember all the major security heads for this administration came to the White House briefing room, and they all stood up there, and they all acknowledged that the United States was targeted by the Russians for interference in the election in 2016. It's going on again in 2018. They got big plans for 2020, and they're on it. They're looking at it. They're trying to fix it. It's a big deal. It happened, and this is something we should all know. And then last night, the president, I believe he was in Ohio, Pennsylvania, same difference now. Last night he was in Pennsylvania, and he made a speech, and he called the whole Russian thing a hoax. Am I missing something there?
No, not at all. This is exactly... See, what you figure out Trump does is, remember, they came out and said what they said only because of, and this is still fallout from Helsinki, from the president standing on stage with Vladimir Putin and basically kissing his feet, rubbing them, massaging them very comfortably, and then kissing them, and basically saying that Vladimir does no wrong, has done no wrong. And the blowback has been consistent and insistent since then. So saner heads in the administration prevailed and said, let's put our security team out there. It represents all the agencies that have touched and are touching this issue to put an end to it. Right? So that was what we saw. And everybody was like, this is good. It was a good presser, even though Sarah Huckabee couldn't, and that should have been your telltale sign right there. After that event with those five people, the press conference with Sarah Huckabee, the press briefing with Sarah Huckabee went like this. So, Sarah, how do you reconcile what we just heard, all right, saying that Russia hacked and is trying to hack again our election process, versus what the president has been saying about this is all a witch hunt, it's a hoax? And you heard her answer, which is basically, I represent what the president says. That's all I'm going to tell you on this. The president's made very clear, what he thinks. And that should have been the key clue, because guess what happened yesterday? The president goes out and he tells us what he really thinks. He still thinks and believes that this is all a hoax. And all of that undermined what those gentlemen and ladies had done just a few days before to try to put this thing on the right footing. So, no, it's not surprising at all. And when they got up there, I knew there would either be a tweet or there would be something coming out of Donald Trump's head that would basically wipe off the map everything that they just done.
Yeah. I love it. When you're talking about some errors that need to be wiped off the face of the earth, Sean Spicer's new book listed you as being the person who's behind the controversial dossier, not Christopher Steele, the British ex-spy, but Michael Steele, you. Yeah. I thought that was one of the interesting errors that have come out of his book.
Yeah. Well, I was a little bit angry at Sean because he blew my cover. I've been an MI6 agent for quite some time, and yes. I'm just now beginning to perfect this American accent. I'm getting recalled. So this may be my last time with you guys.
I knew they were going to
be back in Britain.
You know, they've been trying to get a black James Bond for years, and they actually had one. Who knew? Oh, yeah, but isn't that, so that was a total mistake, right?
Michael Steele. What was that?
that was like a total mistake. He wasn't trying to insinuate that you had something to do with it.
It
was just
messy.
It was an editorial. What happened to their proofreaders and stuff?
Well, I'm not, I agreed. All of that's absolutely correct. You got to go through the book and proof it and all of that. But let's be fair to Sean here about what's happened. I can go back to shortly after the Christopher Steele story first broke, and we know how long ago that was, right? Mm-hmm. I get the Google alerts. I've kept them all. It's hysterical where I'm listed instead of him. What's been really weird, there are some reputable publications, both online and in print, that have cited both of us in the same story.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
So yeah. I just started laughing at one point, and I started to go on Twitter about 4 months ago because there was like this storm of tweets with my name popping up as dossier author. And so I started to put out a tweet, something along the lines of, it ain't me.
Right.
Period.
I've heard your name substituted by some of the political analysts on the cable news. I'm like, there's a slip of the tongue. They obviously know it's not Michael Steele, but it's Christopher Steele. But then to put it in writing like that, I just think was a little
Well, dumb. Yeah, I'll tell you, honest, it's good to be on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
It's
good for the brand. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question about this whole, the new thing that popped up this week that everybody in the non-Trump-friendly media universe, and even some in the Trump-friendly media universe, are picking up on is this QAnon, this kind of this group.
Yes.
You're starting to see more and more of these cultish followers showing up at Trump rallies who are big conspiracy theorists. This has been going on forever. And they by the way, they're down with a lot of the old, like going back 50 years, 75 years conspiracies, the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission. I mean, all these things, they've got UFO bodies in a place. I mean, these people are, falling into all of that. Are they an active political force? And do you think the president is actually trying to wink at them?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the president knowingly, unwittingly, wittingly, knowingly, whatever, you can never tell with him,
right.
Giving them cover. The fact that they allow those signs there, knowing what their story is, knowing what they're promoting, the fact that the president, as some have cited, have given a wink and nod by using certain terms or references that are very popular with that particular cultish group or conspiracy group, again, gives countenance to them and is embarrassing. And yet, here we are. This culture that we now find ourselves in is one that has been put together and stewed and continues to be stewed by this president. It's amazing to me how more and more people are just sort of latching on. But QAnon and others are an example of desperation. They're an example of individuals who have lost all sense of perspective, number one, but I think all sense of real hope for the country. They are latching on to anything to justify a time that no longer exists or was never a good period for the country, and it's just unfortunate. And you'd hope that our leaders, starting with the president, would show some level of sanity when it comes to these things as opposed to engaging in it the way he has. This is my takeaway, though, and I want to share this because I was reading something in the paper, and it really summed up for me where we are with all of this. The president at his rally last night, in talking about Bob Casey, who is the senator in Pennsylvania, who's going to be running against Mr. Barletta, right, and the Republican nominee. He noted that in their debate, he says, Bob Casey is against every one of the things that I just said. He listed all this crazy stuff that he says Bob is against, right? And he goes on and says that, you know, he predicts that Barletta would be, quote, would destroy him if the two were to debate. Quote, that will be great entertainment, period. And if anyone wants to understand what we are in right now, that sums it up. That's how Donald Trump looks at everything he's doing, every word that's uttered from his mouth, every action taken by his administration is about entertainment. He's looking, and he is entertaining a good third of the country. And the other two-thirds are sitting there. It's like sitting, going to a movie with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and about 5 minutes into the movie, you go, what the hell am I doing here? And you're trying to figure out how you can politely get up and leave without kicking off your date. Well, yeah. That's how stuck a lot of people feel in this entertainment sphere that we find ourselves.
Yeah.
It's all entertainment.
Well, we're heading into Labor Day here in a couple of weeks, and then it gets real. And I think before we hit Labor Day, you might see some more movement here from the special counsel's office, and then it's going to quiet down, and I think politics will take over, and you'll just have to see. But things are going to get real all up in here. Michael, have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend,
thank
Michael.
You, sir.
You too.
Thank you.
You too.
Yep.
All right, guys. Be good.
Thanks. Bye. All right. And we have, I will say this. Yeah, well, his Baltimore Ravens beat our Bears last night by 1 point. Forget to mention that.
Yeah. That doesn't need to be said, really.
Yeah. Yeah. They went for it at the end, though.
You know what the over was? 34.
Oh, and it was 33.
Yeah, if they hit that 2 point, a lot of people probably would have been happy.
Now that they play the games for the gamblers.
No. Right.
Then again, why are they playing the games? All right, let's talk about your money coming up after Judy does the news in 2 minutes. All right, here she is. For a couple of weeks, Susie Sunshine is joining us.
Yes.
From a storm. She's in.
I hope you're okay, Susan. Is everything okay?
Oh no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Oh, good.
I don't know quite what that was. It sounded like, you know, she's in Dallas, so it sounded like a windstorm was moving through. I've seen that in all those movies.
You never know.
Yeah. The tumbleweeds and all kinds of things, and then oil derricks.
Yeah.
All right, let's, and Bo derricks.
She's not in Dallas.
Let's talk about this. First of all, numbers came out today, unemployment numbers, and unemployment rate goes back down to 3.9%. But there was also a number in there, too, that I didn't quite understand, which was the rate of hiring is down. Is that good? Is that bad? Is that healthy?
Well, we got to look at this in, you know, big scale, look at the trend, because month to month it has been variable, so we don't exactly know based on any one data point. You've got to look at all of it. And so while hiring is down, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And in fact, we're some we're potentially seeing some distortion in that number, because remember, there's one big company that filed bankruptcy and that went out of business, and that impacted these jobs numbers, and that would be Toys R Us. And so that threw off some of the service numbers, that threw off some of the micro data underneath. I think we're okay on that. The big thing to look at it, it was an add of 157,000 jobs. Now, that's a little light, because the street was expecting more, closer to 185 or 190,000. But the really good news was, right behind that, they revised upward the June number. And so the June number, which was an add of 213,000, went to an add of almost 250,000. So that shows that we've got, you know, a pretty steady labor market. We're certainly adding more than enough jobs to maintain the economy that we have. But there are no signs of overheating. And importantly, we don't see any signs of scare because of the tariff talk, potential trade impacts, et cetera. So overall, I think this was a really solid report. It dovetails nicely with the Fed's meeting that we just had on Wednesday, where they messaged that, you know, no interest rate at that meeting, but we continue to think that there will be gradual rate hikes going forward because the economy is doing well.
So you have this long, fairly good streak of job growth now. It sounds like have we broken records? Am I hearing that correctly, that in terms of the job growth going back several years now?
Yes. So, and in fact, there's a different number. We don't talk about it as much. It's the U6. There's different levels of unemployment, different variations on how you measure it. The U6 number, so level 6 of the unemployment rate, includes part-time workers as well as full-time workers. That number is now at 7.5%. That's a 17-year low. And so we are seeing, you know, really good streak of job numbers. And importantly, we're seeing job numbers that are healthy, but average hourly earnings hasn't seen a big spike up. And so that's maintaining at about 0.3% month over month gains. You know, right now this reading was 2.7% up over last year. That's very healthy, because that means we're getting job growth, but wage growth is obviously not as, if you're the worker, you'd love to have it be much bigger. But if you're the employer, you can't handle it if there's a huge spike in expenses right now in labor. So having that slow, gradual growth helps prolong this, and that's good for the employers too, because they can manage their business to it.
How concerned should we be for the economy about the brewing trade war between China and the United States? U.S. yesterday said, we're going to go as long as it takes. And China goes, guess what? Look what we're going to do now. And then they added more tariffs, including a tariff that is going to be really detrimental in the auto industry. Toyota alone, you could see a rise of about $2,000 a vehicle in tariff costs just for them.
So we are seeing that tit for tat, a lot of rhetoric. Right now it's just rhetoric. We've had implementation of tariffs only on the steel and aluminum thus far. There was talk early in the week from the Trump administration taking what had been a 10% proposed rate on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods up to a 25% tariff rate. In return, China came out today and said, all right, well, then we're going to take an additional $60 billion of U.S. goods and slap varying degrees of tariffs on them, anywhere from, you know, 5, 10 to 25% as well. So it's that tit for tat back and forth. That rhetoric is very negative overall. The market's been good at ignoring it for the most part, and we've been focused on earnings. Companies have been saying actual numbers that the market can relate to, and they're tangible on how companies have been operating, how their performance has been, how much money they're making. And so the market up till now is focused on that. The danger is that we talk about the tariffs and we talk about the negative trade impacts more and more, and it starts to knock down people's confidence. And when they aren't as confident about the future, they're not going to invest in their businesses, and that alone can slow the economy down, whether any tariffs actually get implemented or not. So right now, there's some back and forth. I think the silver lining here is the administration also let slip today that there had been dialogue with China. The market had been very concerned that there'd been no dialogue whatsoever. Things were at a standstill. And instead, we learned today that, in fact, there have been some, you know, backdoor conversations. And so it's not completely frozen and cut off. And I think that gave the market some optimism as we came into the close today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the numbers were pretty good. The market was up modestly, right? 100 mm-hmm. and something points.
Yeah.
Which, you know, now, back in the day, it was up $100, 100 points. You're like, wow, wow, 100 points. And now 100 points, you're like, whatever.
As a percentage, as a percentage of the whole, it doesn't seem to mean that much. What about, let me ask you about wage growth, because again, I guess it was stagnant in this, or unchanged in this jobs report. I know workers would like to see a bump, and but it's sort of a mixed bag. Too big of a bump can mean overheating, and companies have to dig deeper into their pockets to start paying for wages. Are we going to start seeing more wage growth, do you think? Is that something on the horizon as that unemployment number gets lower and lower? And how low can it go?
Well, we don't really know how low it can go because it all depends on how it's measured. Remember that we've got some changes in the demographics. We've got an older population now. We're trying to figure out how that flows into these numbers. Who's really eligible to work? How many people have come off the sidelines to get involved? We've seen the participation rate go up, which has been very good. Average hourly earnings went up 0.3% month over month and up 2.7% year over year. So we're seeing these modest increases in earnings and wages. Hours worked also went up a little bit. So we're seeing a little bit of a bump up here. And I think that that is really sort of this gradual slow increase. We're kind of in a Goldilocks state right now. As long as that can continue and manufacturers and business owners can adjust to it to account for their labor costs, then I think that helps keep us in, you know, sort of a steadily growing economy. When it starts to get too hot, that's when businesses have to jack up prices to accommodate it. And that's when we start to see inflation. And that's when the Fed then comes around and starts raising interest rates aggressively to try and cool everything back down. And that becomes more of a problem. So right now, we'll see. We've been going along at this, you know, slow, steady, upward grind, and it's been working. Hence, we've got one of the longest recoveries ever. But right now, for the foreseeable future, there's no reason to think it can't keep going.
All right. So now, speaking of that, Apple passes the $1 trillion mark in terms of market capitalization. Is that, obviously, we're going to start to see other companies do that. It's a landmark moment, $1 trillion. Are we concerned that at some point maybe Apple's too big?
Well, everything's been going up. So, you know, we've seen these market capitalizations of all these companies increase just as we've seen market levels go up. Apple was the first to cross the $1 trillion mark. That is, you know, one of these mark your calendar moments for market participants just because $1 trillion, it's so big.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a sign of the times. The companies that are growing and that are getting larger, you know, like Google, Apple, Facebook, the companies that we're talking about in the news are showing you how society and how our spending patterns have shifted. GE is not the biggest company right now, by far. So GE, meanwhile, has gone down in value. Apple's come up. We're seeing a shift in the valuations of, you know, who's getting more business and who's growing.
Yeah. Is it concerning in any way to you, though, like sort of the rise of mega companies dominating more and more, a larger share, a piece of the pie of the economy?
Much because remember the market capitalizations really reflect inflation as well. So if we talk about, you know, adjusted dollars back to the 80s, it's not such a scary number. We've seen the market go up. So as a reflection of how the market has increased as well, it says Apple is doing very well within the market, but it doesn't tell me that, you know, Apple is so large that it dwarfs absolutely everything else. We still have lots of good big size, but not monster size companies that are operating in the United States that are helping keep this economy rolling forward.
All right, we'll leave it there. Susie Sunshine, thank you so much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Susan.
It. She's our financial analyst. She's
she
in
is.
Charge of all things money here.
We're very happy about
She's
that.
She's also the
We're
only
happy.
Person on the
Thank
show
you.
That can make change, which I think is really something.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
We would, yeah, we'd be in trouble if we had the millennials in trouble.
It's good to have math skills.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't let Kevin or Vila to do it. Okay.
Right, don't worry. Or me or Anna, for that matter.
Or us either. Yeah, we're good at spending, not good at saving.
We're journalists. We don't understand anything about the, you know, we don't have to count. All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm sitting on a gold bar.
All right.
All right.
You got your Bitcoin?
Known as Potcoin.
Potcoin. You shifted your retirement fund to Potcoin from Bitcoin?
I'm diversifying my funds. It's called diversification of the funds.
Did you buy all of Lochte's Potcoin?
Wasn't it Dennis Rodman?
He was strapped for cash. He needed a few bucks. So I said, here's all my money, Lochte. Give me what you got.
Hey, did you say that two people jumped in the Chicago River, two Lollapalooza kids jumped in the Chicago River last night?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Probably all hopped up on the molly.
Right. Oh, it's so hot in here, man. Are you hot? Let's go. The river's cold. Yeah. That's a plan. Ew.
The city is just covered in Lala goers.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of spilled glitter.
There's a lot of glitter. It's a weird crowd. Like, these women are half naked, but you're like, how... Did your father know where you are? That's what I don't know. It's like, how old are you?
Yeah, I know. They're
pretty
young.
17, 18? What are we dealing with here?
I don't know. We're dealing with people who might be 13 but want to look like they're 30.
I just don't look at anyone anymore.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I felt so overdressed yesterday when we left work. I was like, oh.
I know. We had to walk through the Lala.
Just take the shirt off.
Got the butt cheeks falling out the bottom of shorts. They're crying out loud.
The underbutt.
Yeah.
That's a good look.
I don't think so.
Not if you're a parent of that child.
Exactly right. Thank you, Anna. Finally. All right, here is Judy telling us what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Mayor Emanuel talks the talk when it comes to the Riverwalk.
Violetta. Yeah. Got some Scott Stapp tickets to give away. Pair of tickets to see him. Singer-songwriter, frontman from Creed, August 25th at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. Tickets on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com.
Please come now. I think I'm falling. Holding on to what I think is safe. Seems I found the road to nowhere. And I'm trying to escape.
Yeah, okay. He's got, he just sounds a little like
I love DJ. Creed. Don't make fun of him. Although I will say I saw his meltdown at the Rosemont.
Oh, really?
Was that? I thought it was in St. Louis. Was that here?
No, it was here.
Oh, my.
Because everyone got their money back, but it was a WGN thing, so I didn't have any money to come back. But it was actually
It was a WGN concert?
No, we had a box there at one time.
What happened for the meltdown? What did he do?
He doesn't have any shoes on. That's kind of weird. And, you know, he's singing and, you know, he's kind of got that sound that you can get away with being a little maybe whatever he was. I don't really know what happened to him. Mental breakdown, alcohol, drugs, whatever. And then he was just stumbling around. And then at one point he was laying down singing on the stage.
Yeah. At what point did you realize it wasn't part of the show?
Oh, right away. Oh. It was pretty evident. And then the show didn't last very long because he couldn't go on.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed because I really wanted to see Creed.
Oh, do not know it, Sweet Judy Blue.
I think it's Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, but whatever.
Yeah.
Talking about music events, right now there are reports, if I could just jump in.
Yeah, jump right in.
Chicago Fire Department is rescuing four people from Monroe and the lakefront. They're in the water there.
Oh, gee.
They're throwing them life jackets as we speak. So four people, seems like, from Lollapalooza.
Am I hot? Are you hot?
Jumped
I'm hot.
In the water.
Let's cool off.
And the molly goes
What do we do? What do we do to cool off?
Dude, let's go in the water.
It's only 76 degrees. I think they're in good shape.
Yeah, but it's 176 in their head right now on the molly.
They said, though, the first day of Lollapalooza, fewer people are sent to the hospital than last year, fewer arrests than last year.
Yeah, wait till tomorrow when it's 95.
And Kylie Jenner spotted at Lollapalooza yesterday. So there you go. Yeah, because her boyfriend Travis Scott was
Porter. Yeah.
Which one is she? Right. The makeup one.
Is she the?
Really rich? She's the almost billionaire now.
The self-made billionaire.
Yeah.
Such an inspiration.
I've never seen her makeup anywhere, but I don't know.
It's bringing in the dough.
It is. She's on the cover of Forbes, not for nothing.
She can own Lollapalooza if she wanted.
Probably could. But so she was there, and she was not among the arrests or the people who passed out or the people treated on site for alcohol or drug problems.
Most teenagers.
She is a teenager.
She is a teenager. Teenage billionaire. She's going to get her own comic book. You know, it's interesting. Judy brings up a good point. Which is, where do they sell her makeup? Where may I buy it?
Beverly Hills.
You can buy it mostly. She has pop up stores throughout the country. She does those when she has a new line, but also online at Kylie Cosmetics.
Oh,
and Amazon.
All with a K.
See, I would never go to that kiosk at the mall. Because
no, so she actually like had Tupperware. Some. She had some fraud incidents where people were selling her makeup that wasn't her makeup.
Oh,
at
no.
Just stands like that.
Oh,
so
no.
She did
that
a little
could ruin
bust.
Her empire.
Mm-hmm. It can because people
how
were
dare
getting
they?
Sick
maybe
from
that's
it.
How she no. made so much money.
People were getting sick from it. The it was oh. not good quality.
Oh, no, not good quality.
Oh, Momager was not happy with that.
What is that? What happens when people get sick from the makeup? What
it was she was they were getting like hives and stuff, allergic okay. reactions
they
to the
lipsticks. They forgot to test that batch on
really maybe it was just. Maybe it was just bad makeup.
You guys are sour about her being a billionaire.
Yes, we are.
I think it's amazing. I just mm-hmm. I was shocked when I saw her on the cover of Forbes, and it's amazing what how far she's gone.
Self-made inspiration.
It
for
is
sure.
self-made, even if she started with millions
right,
and
right,
a backdrop.
Right.
Do
right,
other
right.
The other
I
people
bet you
in the family
I'd be a millionaire
have not
if
made
I was
a billionaire?
Born into that family.
Well, okay.
How much is the makeup? That's the thing. It's
not expensive. No, it's not expensive. That's the whole thing. She has a whole clan of young.
Yeah, it
teenagers.
Sounds like a cult to me. You can get some lip liner for
it's
$12.
It's a cult
bucks.
Spelled with a K, though.
Yeah, and they're selling that cult. Brand. It's a brand of
just
clothing.
Just don't put it three times.
All right, let me ask you this, Violetta. Are all the girls at Lollapalooza wearing her makeup? Is
no, because you would sweat it off, and that would just be a waste. But, I mean, she got famous with her lip liners and lip kits because she was doing the lip injections and lip liner on herself.
Is $12 for lip liner a good deal?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, good lip liner from MAC is like mm-hmm. 22 yeah. minimum.
$20, right?
You can get some Kai Shadow for $44.
There's no way you're going to compare MAC to her stuff.
Why?
No.
Why?
Because nobody uses it. Who even you? I've never heard of anyone using.
She made $900 million
I'm saying
off of
that's because those girls at Lollapalooza, the teenage girls are doing it. Not the people who know good makeup.
This is like the new wave of makeup going
oh.
against the old school makeup.
Oh,
ooh,
right. I know.
Clash
oh.
of Titans.
Oh, it's going to be a fight now.
Listen, my makeup would not come off in the heat at Lollapalooza. I'm just saying that because it's MAC.
Okay.
You can get the Chris bundle for $150. Let's go test it.
All right, wait, hold on. Yes. Kevin and I will wear it.
Yeah.
The question
well,
is, who's
Caitlyn Jenner is trying
Caitlyn
Jenner has tested out the new lip kit that Kylie has put out. That's where she's made a lot of money. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
her lip kit.
Oh,
wait,
God.
Her sister's tested it?
No, her dad.
Her dad,
oh,
mom,
her
dad. Dad.
Oh, okay, well.
She's got a momager and a mom, yeah. dad.
They should have a special line for her.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
No, the whole point is she doesn't need a different line. She uses the women's line.
Okay. We get it. All right. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, hold on. We don't want to fight on our hands. No, that's correct. Yeah. No,
well,
I get it.
No, I get what you're saying because most of the sisters have had their own lipsticks. So there's a Courtney, a Chloe, a Kim.
Yeah, there's the Chris eyeshadow palette. Yeah.
But hold on a second. Are they all part of that same empire or
no,
these different empires?
So. Those are Kylie Cosmetics. She partners up with her family members and mm-hmm. does different lines of makeup.
There's
them.
The Kylie Cosmetics and then there's the KKW Beauty Makeup.
Right, so that's Kim Kardashian's beauty line.
See,
that's
two separate
rivalry.
Lines.
Two right. separate lines. But may I ask this question? Who is the money for this? Who's the business behind it? Because they obviously... They didn't go out and build the factory. She's not putting a hard right. hat on. She's not going cutting the international deals. She can barely get out of the country long enough. She's the face of the brand. She's the brand.
Yeah, her
right?
job is to post Instagram photos yeah. of this stuff.
It's so, like Trump when
right.
you think about it.
But so
she has 100%. She's 100% of the business and just 7 employees, according to Forbes.
How all making the
that?
Makeup?
Get to work.
Who's cutting the deals?
We might be out of China if we keep reading. I'm trying yeah, to see yeah. here.
Do we want to know? She's got 112 million followers on Instagram.
See, there
112.
You go. So all she does is wear a new lip liner, and how many of those millions buy it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
it's
yeah,
pretty easy,
start
the social
them young,
media.
Get the kids into it.
Yeah, okay.
7 employees.
She launched it 2 years ago with a $29 lip kit.
You guys are so jealous.
Yeah, I know.
She sold
incredible.
$630 million worth of makeup since and an estimated $330 million just in 2017.
She's just good at Instagram, and that's how she got rich.
I just have a couple of questions, Violetta, before you get all defensive. I would like to know, what is the margin on the lip plumper?
Yeah, what's the margin?
I don't know, because I don't go to her business meetings. What do you mean, the margin of how much she makes per kit?
Yes, like the difference between the cost and the sale. Like,
probably very significant, because she's a smart
EBITDA?
Business owner.
What's the earnings before
interest taxes
and depreciation and amortization?
Well,
what
if she was if she's a smart business owner, which it seems like she is, since she's makes $900 million probably pretty high.
This is how this business works, Violetta.
I don't really. I mean, I don't know.
A bunch of businessmen came to us and said, look.
Yes. That's
post
exactly
some photos. We'll handle everything.
But
just
that is
promote
pretty much
the
every
product.
Business that
not
has,
really.
No, she outsourced the manufacturing. Here's the breakdown from Forbes. She outsourced the manufacturing and packaging to an Oxnard, California producer.
All right.
Sales and fulfillment is outsourced to Shopify. The finance and PR is her momager, Chris, who gets a 10% cut of everything from all of her children.
Of course she does.
And then she's got her seven employees.
All right, kids, pay up 10%.
Yeah,
right.
She gets 10%.
She's like the godfather.
She's
like
not
my
the momager for nothing.
Right. My agent, same thing. Baby darling, sweetheart, listen. I would like to discipline you, but the fact of the matter is that I still need my 10% cut.
You got a makeup line, Ro? I'm sure your agent would have his hand out.
What do you give your mom, Ro? I'm going to get this for my kids.
Get it going, Judy.
Well, okay. You worked for
you
them
what,
when they get jobs.
This is not a stupid question on my part. I ask a lot of stupid questions. This is not a stupid one. Who's the money behind it? Who are the guys who are organizing, the men, women, whatever, the companies that are organizing this? Because you don't get to $1 billion doing this out of your garage.
Well, I think when you sell 100 million of her lip kits at $29 each, I think you have a nice seed money to go ahead and fund it yourself. And that might be what's happened here, because it doesn't say in Forbes that she has any major investors.
But someone has to make the 100 million kits.
Right,
that's not a small enterprise to do that.
Don't they already have like an established company, that family? You just said her mom gets a cut. I think they already have so many companies and so many stores and all that's already established.
And she's been on Keeping Up with the Kardashians since she was 11, so she gets a cut from that.
They
where
put
11-year-olds
on that show?
Business.
I mean, they had stores
God,
and boutiques.
These people are
and,
unbelievable.
Yeah, but she's not part of the store.
And
that's
you know what, Kevin? She had lipstick, that lip gloss on.
The billionaire number is coming from this makeup enterprise, right? Let's take the Keeping Up with the Kardashians out of it.
Right, but she started it with probably money from Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
That may well be the idea, but she's got to pay the, she's got a company making this stuff, packaging it, fulfilling it, all of that. And the question is, who organized that, or did all these people just line up? And was she the one cutting the deals with her lawyers?
I think her mom was. I think her mom cut the deal for the packaging and the marketing and all those other things that we just mentioned. And I think makeup itself is pretty cheap.
She got 10% for cutting the deal, for brokering the deal.
What they're saying,
10%. Put it on the
baby
ledger,
darling, sweetheart.
Well,
listen, I need my 10%.
Do that.
Right. All right. Well, it worked out.
Good for her.
They're basically saying the Generation Z consumers, like the younger, like what is that, 12 to what, 18, 20? They're not going for the established brands like Estee Lauder and MAC and things like that. They're moving toward these more, you know, kind of brand identified or brand ambassador identified
kids these days.
Makeup lines that they see on Instagram or social media.
I don't like you guys right now.
We can
I don't
tell.
Like you guys at all.
She's
you guys are so difficult about this girl's well-run
There's just
business.
More to the story is what we're saying.
Yeah, that's all we're saying.
There's more to the story.
Be,
she's obviously
because
smart.
She's not well, self-made.
And worse, we can't agree with her well-run business. All she does is put on the makeup.
Right.
And it sells.
And somehow it works for her.
So she's not smarter.
That is smart. And she
don't overthink this stuff, guys.
It's because of who she is. It means it's so dumb.
But there's so many other famous people out there that aren't billionaires at her age. So how, what do you explain
because
for
she's
that?
Attracted to the crowd. She's like the pioneer for that generation.
She's taking
Anna
advantage of people who just don't care about what it quality or anything. They just because she wears it, they want to wear it.
Okay, may I just also throw one more thing into the mix here?
No.
If I might. No, I think I will.
Is this logical?
Just because you sell, what was the number, $600 million for the product?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you sell $600 million of product, doesn't mean you make $600 million.
No.
Right?
That's true.
Because that's what I was talking about with the margins. What's the difference? What does she take home from the $600 million? Let's say it's, and makeup, by the time you're done with everything, by the time you're done manufacturing it and delivering it and all the other ancillary things you got to pay for, right? And 10%. Let's say I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to call it $200 million, right? So she's making $200 million. She's got to pay the taxes and all that. Does not make her a billionaire.
No,
so
it doesn't.
Then you're
make
doubting
it
Forbes magazine.
I'm doubting it's a bit. The company they're saying could be worth $1 billion if they sold it.
Right, but that's
now
how anyone's net worth is established. What
right, just
worth.
Ask Donald Trump. Is that how he feels about it?
$10 billion.
No,
yeah.
But you
maybe
can own 40.
So she's not
buildings.
A billionaire yet.
No, she's not. But I mean, when you have that's a serious company, if it keeps going, apparently, but here's an answer. Forbes breaks it down. She used $250,000 of seed money of her own money from modeling gigs and her keeping up with the Kardashian sort of dough to pay an outside company to produce the first 15,000 lip kits.
Okay, she might have been self-funded with her own money, but it's not like she's not paying some sort of investment group or.
Okay, right. We get it. Point is that everybody else owns these other contracts and stuff. So it's a little bit that my point in this is the story that she is, you know, Forbes putting her on the cover. What does that do for Forbes? It sells the magazine. And still, a month later, we're talking about Forbes. We have never talked about Forbes ever before. It is a smart move on their part to put Kylie Jenner on the cover of their magazine and call her a billionaire. But I am going to tell you it's fake news. It's just a little bit of marketing upon marketing here. And yes, it's great. You're right. She's doing great. That all the kids at Lala are wearing the Kylie stuff, and then they're eating the Molly and they're jumping in the lake. I get it. I'm for her. But this idea that she is this massively successful business person at 19 is at 19. She's probably the most successful 19-year-old, but she's
21.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. She's 21. It's still not quite the story as it's being told. That's all I'm trying to say.
I can get behind that, but I just don't think she should be insulted.
Well, she was at Lala yesterday and was not among those who passed out, had to be treated for drug or alcohol.
So she gets credit for that, too.
Give her credit for that.
For going to Lala and not getting in trouble. I think that's good. And I think all 21-year-old billionaires can do the exact same thing. All right. Let's put down our hatred and our anger toward each other.
Sweating over here.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, don't move. Cheesy DJ applies for a job at WGN. I think you're going to want to hear this. It's coming up. But first, let us find out from Judy what is happening at the bottom of the hour news.
Waiting for word on a change of venue in a controversial Chicago police shooting.
VLS traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Cheesy radio DJ goes job hunting.
Excuse me, why are you in my office?
Well, Mr. Manley, I just want to make sure I wouldn't be late for the interview.
You're not scheduled until 11 a.m. It's 7:20.
Right on time. I still got it.
Why am I hearing reverb?
I get that question a lot. I had an operation to permanently install that effect in these golden pipes of mine. You could say I've been blessed by the radio gods. Would you like to hear my demo tape? I kind of sweetened it up for those young millennials.
Okay.
It's Cheesy DJ and WGN bringing you the Miley Cyrus right now. It's time to party. Where are we going to party? We're going to party in the USA. Well, I remember her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus. Oh, I love that. Icky Breaky Heart. This is an Icky Breaky Heart. Taylor Swift wants to shake it off. Man, I wish she'd let it go, especially when it comes to DJs. We're just doing our job, man. Here's the latest from Beyonce. No longer putting a ring on it. She's just bootylicious. 79 at O'Hare.
Okay. I've heard enough.
Oh, wait a second there, toddler. You haven't gotten to the best part where I give away the Weekend D tickets at 520.
It's the weekend.
Oh.
Security, to my office, please.
Tune in next week when Cheesy Radio DJ tries to apply to hip-hop station WRAP 187 FM.
Good luck to everybody.
That went well.
Yeah, went well. Broke on show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mm. All right. This is my favorite moment of the year right here.
Me too.
I say it a lot, but it's still my favorite. Ed Obradovich joins us. OB, we love him. Mm-hmm. He's my entire life as a Bears fan. Ed Obradovich has played some role in it, either as a player or as an analyst, and he's a screeth. He's a truth screamer.
He
is what he is. He screams the truth.
He gets us through the season, even when the truth kind of doesn't feel so good.
Right. And I'd like to get his thoughts on Kylie Jenner's makeup collection, but we'll do that in just a few minutes. All right, let me ask you this question, OB. Do you think one things that came out of the game last night that I think is interesting is the way the new NFL rules about tackling. You can't lead with your head. And it seemed last night and the first time, and this is the, you know, they're road testing this for the NFL. It's the first game of the preseason of the NFL. The regular preseason starts later next week. And the officials even seem confused about this rule. How do you think this is going to go this season?
Well, it's the rule is plain. You drop your head. You're coming in, and whoever has the ball, and obviously defensively, you either got a lineman, a linebacker, the defensive backs coming at him. You got all the line, you got all the reps, everybody, line judge, all looking at you. When you drop your head, that's it. The flag will go out. It's as plain and as simple as that. You drop your head and you aim at that guy, flag goes out. It'll be the penalty, and you could get thrown out of the game and fined.
Do you agree with it?
Simple as that is. You drop your head, because that's a very visual thing to see. You drop your head, just like Trevathan did last year against Green Bay. He dropped his head to a guy that was just, he was helpless, and he popped him right in his head. And I'm surprised he didn't even get thrown out of the game. But again, not to talk in circles here, you drop your head, that flag is going out.
I mean, do you agree with it, OB? Do you let the good? It's a good rule.
Yes, I do. To a certain extent. I mean, there's everybody, the NFL, the owners, everybody's, you know, about players getting hurt, and they're trying to do everything they can to make the game safer, and it's kind of a difficult thing to do. It's a very violent game played basically by violent people, and you can't get around it. Now, can you make some adjustments? You can. But again, a rule like that, I don't know why they're making such a big deal out of it. It's so damn simple. You drop that head, pal, you're getting fined, and there's a penalty.
All right. So did you, I don't know if you had a chance to see this last night. I know you got commitments over the summer here, but obviously very few players that we have to learn the names of were in that game last night. What are you hearing about Matt Nagy and his offense and what we're going to be seeing here from him? Because they didn't really show a whole lot.
No, well, the main thing, I couldn't believe it. I mean, he had roughly what about... between 28, 29, and 30 top players that didn't play last night. You know, when you've got your first team, you got Trubisky at quarterback, you got your running backs, you got your line set, your receivers and everybody, start the game. Start the game, play a series or two, and take them off the field. What you want is that first unit to get ready. Every game. Here's what we do. Here's the meetings we have before. Here's what we do. That should be just a regimentation that they should be going through. I was disappointed that the first team didn't start. That's number one. But I'm going to tell you something. This guy Nagy, I've watched him in training camp. And in the mini camps, boy, this guy is hands-on. And you could see that he loves the game and he understands the game. And I think for him bringing in Markel Fritch, who's going to be basically the offensive coordinator, and our offensive line coach, Harry Heisten, those are important guys. Why? Because offensively, last year, the year before, the year before, the year before, the decade before, we couldn't put points on the board. We couldn't get an offensive coaching staff in here to figure out that you have to score points, more points than the other team to win a game. And what I believe, what it just happens to be what it is. And what I believe is, I like Nagy. He's very hands-on. Helfrich just came from college, I believe Oregon, where he was the head coach. And, of course, Harry Heinstead, he was back here, I think, in 05 to 09 or 010. He was a line coach here, but he came from Notre Dame. Why am I saying that's important? Guys, the position coaches, I've said it a million times, are the most important people on this team. Why? They have to communicate what it is they're trying to get to them offensively and defensively. And you've got to... You know, there's some people that just can't get the point across. What I believe, what Nagy brought in, are guys that he believes that are fresh, they're new, they're energetic, and he believes that they can put their point across to these players.
OB, hold on 1 second. We got to check in with Violetta on a traffic situation just developed.
Yes, Ro, all lanes are blocked on the outbound Stevenson Pass Central. That's because of a crash involving a motorcycle. Only the left shoulder is getting by. Heavy delay starting all the way back to Halsted. Avoid getting stuck in that. All lanes are blocked. Outbound Stevenson at Central. Only the shoulder is open. Traffic barely squeezing by.
And finally, some good blocking here. OB, let's get back to what you think about this team heading forward in this season. Obviously, you know, you got a new coach. People got to learn the new systems. You don't expect him to take this team to the Super Bowl in the first season, but are you optimistic?
No, but I'll tell you what, that better be his thoughts, and that better be his words, because you play this game, you don't play it to come in second. You don't play it to go 8-8. Or whatever the hell we've been doing here for so long, it's unbelievable.
8-8. I take 8-8. 8-8 make me so happy.
No,
3-13.
No, you're wrong, pal. You got to go all the way. You got to be a world champ. You got to go after it. And that has to be the thought of every coach and every player on that team. And if you don't have the thought, you don't have the feeling, get the hell off the Bears, will you, please? We've had enough of finishing middle of the pack, way back, last in the league. And, you know, and we play against, you know, the North Division. We got to play the Packers twice.
Yeah.
We got to play Minnesota twice, Detroit twice. We got to play New England. We got to play the Tampa Bay Bucks. We got to play the Los Angeles Rams. We got a hell of a season coming up here. And I'm going to tell you something. What Nagy better do, I'd love to see these players these next four games get out there and play the game. Because you cannot go and to the opening game of 16 and you're playing your players a series or two, a three or four series, a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half. That's not going to get it done. You've got to get your offense out there, and you've got to set the tone. You know, this game is not a game of trickery. You got to have the talent. You got to have a quarterback that can get the ball down the field. Why do we have to get it down the field? Because the rules give it to you. They give it to you. Just watch all the teams but the Bears, and what do? Fire the ball down the field. So what I'm hoping, what I'm with Helfrich and Heinstead here, I'm hoping that we can, in the next four games, come out and attack people, go down the field, and you know, I'm just so damn tired, and even Hampton, you talked to Dan, just so tired of these guys. Everybody's hurt. We have injuries upon injuries upon injuries. It's a lower body injury. It's a higher upper body. Body injury.
Yeah,
I think what it is a brain injury, and I hope to help these guys get ready and get set and get ready to go and play.
Hey, OB, Brian, it's Kevin, by the way. Looking forward to another season to talking with you through this Bears season. Brian Urlacher will be enshrined to the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow night down in Canton, Ohio. You saw every single one of his games. Can you just put some perspective on his career and how great was Brian Urlacher?
Well, he is, what, 6'4", 6'5", roughly 250. And the thing that puts him a little bit different than other middle linebackers is this kid can fly with his size. And that's basically the difference. You know, he's got the attitude. Boy, I remember, the thing I remember most about Brian Urlacher was the Super Bowl, I believe it was down in Tampa Bay, against Indianapolis Colts. And it was late in the third quarter, and all he's doing is dropping back. And Peyton Manning, the quarterback of the Colts, they keep peppering underneath, making first downs, putting points on the board. And I remember Urlacher, and it's because it was on the television, so somebody's got to have a film of it. He was screaming to the Bear coaches on the sideline. He was tired of dropping back 20 yards, 15 yards. He kept doing that. They would not adjust. They would not make any adjustments. They should have had Urlacher going after Peyton Manning, getting in his face, blitzing the hell out of him, and they didn't do it, and they never adjusted. And we had a good chance to win that Super Bowl, and we didn't because of stupid coaching.
Yeah, it wasn't Urlacher's fault. That we do know for sure.
That's true.
It was one of the one of the greats that ever played the game, and also a really a good guy. You know, there are a lot of people who are enshrined in that hall who are not weren't such solid citizens, but Brian Urlacher certainly is. So that's a very nice thing.
Yeah, congratulations to him. I mean, he played a lot of years. He played hurt, you know, and that's a good thing. That's a sign of a hell of a football player, and he certainly was. Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? You bet he does. Could I just say one thing here about Vic Fangio with this defense?
Yeah.
That defense, they came out, and you know what caught my eye was we got a lot of guys on the defensive line, and we need the outside pass rushers, okay? And we have Harris, we've got a ton of people, and you can't keep all these guys. I got a feeling that Fangio and the defensive line coach, you know, made up their minds, okay, this opening game, we're going to play these guys. Let's go after. We need pass rushers. Let's turn them loose for four quarters. Come hell or high water, whatever it is, if they run on us or whatever, let's see if any of these guys can break through on the inside or have some moves on the outside. And I'll tell you what. That Kylie Fitz, he showed me a lot last night, and they put a lot of pressure on him. And again, my idea is that I think, what the hell do we have to lose? We can't keep all these guys. Let's see what these young guys can do. Turn them loose. Yeah. Turn them loose and let them go after them. And they did last night. They did a good job.
All right. Thank you very much. OB.
Thanks,
great
OB.
Great to have you back. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Great hearing your thoughts.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you
OB.
All right, there we go.
It's officially football season now. When OB comes on the Rokan Show with Anna DeFlantes on a Friday, it's Bears season.
I know. I felt like the sun's going to set in 20 minutes now because of that.
All right,
let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour on the WGN Radio News.
Are Chicago protesters now targeting the city's airports?
Violetta?
Oh, yeah. Right now, caller number 19, 312-9172-00. Rips us off for a pair of tickets. See Scott Stapp, singer, songwriter, frontman from platinum-selling band Creed. Live in concert August 25th, Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Okay.
Nice job hitting the post. Never fails us, cheesy radio guy.
Thank you.
Oh, too many unfiltered Marlboros in your past.
He eats them. Did you hear him say that last week?
I did.
He actually eats
Troubling.
Them. He doesn't smoke them. He eats them because it's, you know.
While they're lit.
Well, it's two things, too. It's you know, it's he's smoking and it's nourishment, he thinks.
Oh.
It's tobacco. It came from the earth.
All right.
It's organic. Maybe.
Cigarettes.
So did he, by the way. And he'll be returning to the earth, I think.
For too
diet. Long. Yeah. All right. We've got Judy Pilak standing by WGN News and 2. With Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper stepped into the studio. It's Friday Land. And what do we have here? We have a Carnival wagon that's about to roll. Let me explain what's going to happen here very quickly for people because I think they need to know this. We're going to do a top five at five, and then Judy's going to do the news at the bottom of the hour. Now, what's going to happen then is you got White Sox baseball on 7:20 a.m. If you'd like to continue to enjoy the Carnival Wagon and Live Music Friday and all the rest of the stuff, the hilarity, and God knows what will happen or what will be said, we continue the program until 7 o'clock tonight on the World Wide Web. We do it on the stream, as it's known. Mm. So there are three ways you can join us. You can join us either on your computer, your laptop, whatever it is. You go to WGNradio.com. And then you'll see a listen live button right that's out there. Hit that. That's where we'll be.
Very simple. Cool.
If you have the WGN Radio app on your mobile device, you can listen to us on that. Or you can use TuneIn. Just ask your smart speaker or go to TuneIn on your mobile device and just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
Easy peasy.
You'll find us that way. right.
Now, what about us? Do we have to go into a different spaceship, or do we stay right here in the same ship?
Stay right here in the same
Nothing
ship.
Nothing changes for us.
Nothing changes for us.
Okay. Right. Just, so we stay put.
I could get lost in the giant space station that is the new WGN home.
There's a lot of hallways.
We can drop F-bombs, Rich, because we're not on over the air, so we got that going for us.
Uncensored.
I never would do that. Never, never.
We're too classy to do something like that.
Yeah, we are. That's what we're known for.
Uncensored.
Yeah. We put the K in class.
Very Kardashian.
All right.
All right. You know, now it's time for...
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we will.
Number five.
Finally, an answer to the question of how does Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' attorney, have so much time on his hands to be on every single cable television news program?
And have one non-paying client.
How is that possible? What's going on? Well, Anna Navarro, you know her. She's the...
From the CNN?
She's on the CNN. She's the one after the Billy Bush tape came out. She gave us a new pronunciation interpretation of the P word.
Oh,
that gosh.
Night.
Oh, gee. Oh, it was good.
Let's not go back there.
Oh, that was quite a moment. Well, she has her own thoughts about Avenatti.
Look, we've published a lot of our filings in the case. People can look at the quality of the work that we've done from a legal basis. And this is a two-pronged fight. Let's be clear about this. This is a fight not only in a court of law, but also in the court of public opinion. And the amount of media attention that we have received and the amount of media appearances that I've made has actually benefited my client, Stormy Daniels, and others significantly because people have fed us information that we otherwise would not have. And whistleblowers have come forward. And that's proved to be very, very valuable, not just to my clients, but also to others, because we're disclosing information.
Okay.
I'm not sure that really answers the question.
I thought we don't have her getting mad at him?
Come on. Anna doesn't go off on her?
I'd like to see her have her call him the word that she couldn't stop screaming that night last fall.
Oh, gosh.
Or two falls ago. Oh, man. It's the only thing that seems like it was longer ago than it was. Well, everything seems like it was longer ago than it was.
Yeah, quite a few things.
Anyway. All right. Checking in at
number four.
The president has lashed out at the media. He was at a rally in Pennsylvania, and he denied claims that he was late for his meeting with the Queen. Now, this is really something. Why? I kind of think this is a rather important thing that he did at this rally. You're thinking it's kind of an insignificant thing. He says that he was early for the Queen, and therefore, why is all this criticism about being late for the Queen? But the reality is, he was clearly late.
He was late.
Yeah, because we were watching this thing, and she was standing out there for 15 minutes waiting. He goes, no, I was early. I mean, this is the thing that I think that gets a lot of people a little nuts, because he lies about the simplest things. He doesn't even have to bring this up. He could just ignore it.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't have to go here. Right?
She was even looking at her watch while waiting for him, which is so great.
Look, I have a watch. I didn't even know I had a watch.
I wonder if she has an Apple Watch. Wouldn't that be funny?
No. She's got one of those watches where the face on the watch is the size of your fingernail, and you have no idea what time it is. You're like, and then, look, Prince Charles, wait, who's behind me?
She has the actual clock from Beauty and the Beast. It tells her what time it is. She's royalty.
The president was 15 minutes late for the Queen. Wrong. And then here's the rest of the story. No, here's the rest. So they said I was late when I was actually early. Number one. Number two, I guess the meeting was scheduled for 15 minutes, and it lasted for almost an hour. The president overstayed. So I was late, and I overstayed. And honestly, folks, it was such a beautiful, beautiful visit and afternoon. But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
That's crazy.
The BBC did do a fact check on this, though, and they said he was exactly on time. According to the official schedule, she was early.
How?
But that he didn't arrive early as he had claimed. Nah. He got there.
She's early for everything.
Exactly on time.
Just in case.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Again, he didn't have to say he was early when he wasn't.
Right.
It's just, it's as simple as that. But there was one moment that we thought, really, from last night's rally, and we'll get at least one of these per rally, that really deserved the drunk Trump treatment.
Oh, jeez.
We got to have border security. We got to get rid of Visa. How about that? Visa. Visa lottery. You know what a lottery is? You pick it out of a hat.
That's what a lottery
is? Just in
is?
Case.
Okay.
Right. In case you're right. Wait, there's more? There's more drunk Trump? Oh.
Oh.
Look, folks. Hey, folks. I went to school in Pennsylvania. I went to a great school in Philadelphia. Great. The best. I went to the best school. And you wouldn't believe it, but I was a very good student. These people would never tell you that.
That totally worked. You're right. We don't believe it.
So good.
Number one in his class.
The women's unemployment rate, I'm sorry, women, damn it, is the lowest in only 65 years. Not history. Sorry, but it'll be low soon.
What is happening?
You know, like the guy at Thanksgiving, right? He gets drunk and then he gets kind of mild. He's like, he's super excited in the beginning. And then at the end, then he gets so wrapped up in his own thought. And you saw the arc happen right there.
Yeah.
You did.
I'm sorry.
When are we having dessert? You've already had dessert.
Time to leave. Go.
Remember that incredible night in November. And you remember that we were way up in Pennsylvania. And there was only 2% of the vote left. And we were way up. If I lost every vote, we would have won the state of Pennsylvania.
That's the math that Anna's talking about when she doesn't want to, you know, have to send the kid to mathnasium. That's what's going on.
Yeah, I was like, I can't figure out how you got there.
They wouldn't call it. I kept saying, why aren't they calling Pennsylvania? Remember, an hour, 2 hours, so long. 98%, and they wouldn't call it. Well, they were suffering that night. That was suffering.
Wow. Suffering.
Very gracious winner.
He's the drunk uncle who gets kicked out of Thanksgiving but then goes to the bar on the holiday.
That's true.
Finds or everybody that there.
You already know the agenda they're going to bring
Riley,
up.
I'm here. They'll let me in.
Or they bring up those same three sensitive issues they know is going to get everybody going.
Yeah.
Okay, here he goes. He's on that one.
All right. There he goes. All right, let's check in now, Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour on the WGN News?
A car in a pond in Huntley.
And we've got Violetta's got the WGN traffic, which is being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
The stories of how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Damn it!
Top 5-5 continues right here.
Number 3.
The FX hit Fargo is moving to Kansas City. Ooh. But in order to do that, they got Chris Rock to join the cast.
How about that?
It came about because Noah really wanted to work with Chris. Reached out to him, sat down, had lunch with him, told him about the part and about what the next cycle of Fargo would be, and Chris got really excited and signed on right away. We think of crime as being a Las Vegas or being New York, but in fact, Kansas City was the center of power of organized crime in America during this period of time.
Hmm. How about that?
Interesting. Yeah, exactly right, but okay, close enough. Let's go with it. All right. It works for their script. Checking in at
number 2.
Oh, did you hear this? Aer Lingus pilot came under pressure after a heated exchange with an air traffic controller in mid-flight. Mm. The pilot was flying passengers from JFK to Dublin when the air traffic controller radioed the cockpit, citing a potential threat to the aircraft. And then hilarity ensued.
Jambach 104 heavy, contact your departure 126.8. We'll see you.
264 104 heavy. Before I go,
It's been cleared. Any situation, release, leave the aircraft in a safe manner, and my boss will be in contact with your boss. Good day.
MF 104 Heavy, and understood, and I do understand and appreciate that, but again, you know, there's not you're the runway, and you've taken a clearance, and you've set the departure clearance, and you're seeing that weather straight ahead on a runway, and everybody off that airport is turning left. I mean, there's not too many options here in New York.
It's not my first day in New York. It's not my first day in an aircraft. I did what I had to do. Good day. 1-2-6.
What?
Don't fight. Oh, I hate when mommy and daddy fight.
That's not a good situation.
Don't fight about which way you're going to turn away from the weather.
Wow.
There aren't many choices in New York.
Listen, man, I'll land this thing and punch you right in the nose.
Well, do you really want to fight with Bono about the weather? Yeah, I don't think so.
No, you don't.
I'll give you Aer Lingus.
I've got your problems right here. I'll tell you right now. Do you think you got problems? What about those children with the flies on their lips in Africa? Desmond Tutu told me all about them. Desmond Tutu wouldn't have turned left.
All right, and finally,
number one.
To me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those
sing it, Tommy.
Balls are perfect.
Yeah, today is Tom Brady's birthday, by the way.
41.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
41.
Still
the goat.
They have a kale cake burned.
Tom Brady's number
definitely
one
not
fan.
Not strawberries.
But number one fan, Megan Urinowski, which, by the way, that's an unfortunate last name. Right?
She never gets teased.
Yeah, but what the family decide? Should we shorten it? Don't go with urine.
Yeah.
She's 19 years old. She's a college student from Stratford, Connecticut. She went to the Patriots camp this week and was among the horde of screaming fans to try to get a Tom Brady autograph. But her request was unique. She wanted the quarterback's signature so she could get it turned into a tattoo. Mm. She then went to a tattoo parlor the following day and had the 5-time Super Bowl champ permanently etched into her body.
Why not?
Mm. All of a sudden, he cuts right across the field, like directly at us. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my God, like this is literally insane. I literally scream at him. I'm like, Tom, like sign my arm. Like I'm literally going to get this tattooed if you sign my arm. And I have a video of it. He looks me right in the eyes and he just smirks and he's like, signs it. And I was just like, oh my God. Like I started freaking out. I was like, this is the best day of my life.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
That's enough of that.
The top 5 at 5.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here?
Great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Anything I want, they want to oppose. You know, I just figured out how to do the wall. I'll say, I don't want to build the wall, and they'll insist on building it. But I just figured that out right now. Damn it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the Canarbo wagon is rolling, so what better time to do Drunk Trump than then? All right, Hopcat is with us. Hopcat, it's International Yay. Beer Day, by the way.
Mm. So we have to celebrate.
Let's crush some beers.
How are we going to celebrate? I'm celebrating at home quietly with friends and family.
Sure.
As I always
sweet.
Do. Everything.
Endearing.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, we'll be there.
And that's because...
What time should we be there?
You're already there last night. Was it enough last night?
I don't like how we're...
kind of an early night.
We're kind of relegated to once every 6 months at your house. That's what we've... That's
but you've been there twice in 2 weeks.
No, well, yeah, okay, but when before that?
I don't recall.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I had things. I had a problem. I had issues. I had, I had to redo my... I had a flood. I had things.
Yeah.
I had,
you get a pass for that.
But now it's back. Now the thing's and it's ready for fall activity. As a matter of fact, last night, Rich declared that he was going to be there every Sunday, regardless of my presence there, every Sunday at noon for whatever kickoff there is.
I just figured it'd be the easier way to get around it, not waiting for the invite. So I got a spare set of keys made.
Are we having brunch? Is that what's happening on Sundays?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Mimosas and bloodies.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. But again, we got to get back to what the primary reason is here. It's International Beer Day, and Hopcat, which is at 2577 North Clark Street in Chicago, has what they say, and I believe it to be true, Chicago's most comprehensive beer destination. There are, listen to this number, 130 beers on tap. On tap.
Hello.
How do you do that?
Very carefully.
Very carefully. Another 100 bottles, hundreds in bottles and cans, right?
We have over 100 bottles as well.
Over 100 bottles of beer.
Mm-hmm. So when someone comes in and says to the server, what do you got on tap? What do they say?
Where do we begin?
20 minutes later.
Fortunately, we've got them all organized. Our staff is all trained up. So if you know what you're looking for, or if you know anything, they'll be able to find something for you.
So, Doug, one of the problems that I have now is there are so many. You know, back in my day, Doug, you had two choices.
Simpler times.
Bud and Miller. Those were your two choices. You had it. Yeah, I mean, there were some other. For me, there was Old Style, too. You actually had three in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, before that, I know for our parents and grandparents, they had a lot of choices. But it was really simple. Did you want the one from Milwaukee or the one from St. Louis? That's all you had to know.
That's true.
Now, I go in, and it is, and the taste profiles of beers have changed so much, and they're so complicated. And they are like wine. I never believed it when they said, it's going to be like wine. I thought, how could it possibly be? And it is, right?
Absolutely, it is.
And so how do you describe it to a server if you want to try something new? You just have to describe what it is you've already liked?
Absolutely. Well, you can kind of start with saying what kind of flavors you like, other beers that you've liked in the past, and what styles those are, and we can kind of direct you from there.
All right, because sometimes I don't even know the name. Who can remember the name of some of these things?
Exactly.
Right, you have one like a little microbrew, like a real one, not one that Coors just bought, but like a real microbrew somewhere in some town, and you're like, oh my God, that was amazing. How do I get that again? And you can't remember the name of it. It's bad. It's like Spencer Tracy and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. I don't know. Was it Boysenberry? I don't know what it was. All right, so what is the, explain how you do this. So there's 130 taps along the bar?
There's 130 taps. Some are behind the bar and some are up on the bar. We've got 30 that are permanent lines, so those stay the same all the time. They're all local, mostly from Chicago, but all within Illinois. And then the other 100 are rotating constantly. Wow. There's a few of them that stay the same. We've got Old Style on all the time, mostly because we use it to cook the cheese sauce and a few other food items. What you've got in front of you right now is Iyengar Celebrator. We keep that one on all the time.
Yeah, which one is that? Is that the dark or the red?
The dark.
The dark, all right. Now, this is Anger?
It's Iyengar.
Iyengar, okay.
Oh,
Iyengar.
Well.
After six of these, it is Anger. hold on.
I don't speak German, so I say it confidently, and you'll all trust me that I said it.
It sounded very authoritative.
Oh, that's excellent. Wow. Mm. What's happening there? It's very caramely.
I like that.
Am I right about that? Is that caramely?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. I don't know. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I'm not even sure how to describe these things anymore.
I know.
My question for Doug is, do you ever get like a wiseacre who comes in and just wants to sample all 130? You know, let me just have an ounce of that. And then they get to the 57th one, and you're like, get out of here. You got to buy something.
People do like to make that joke, for sure. And we have no problem giving out a few samples, but
I wasn't joking. I was dead serious.
Ultimately, we do flights, so you can come in and get 5 ounces of any beer.
That's how you put a stop to that nonsense. Okay.
Great way to try as many things as you can. I don't know if you could try every beer on the table or at the bar and walk out.
It's true.
Walking is a separate issue. And explain what this Anger is. So this is German, or is
this
it made?
This is German. It's made in Iyengar, German, where Iyengar comes from.
I get it.
It is a classic Doppelbock.
The Doppelbock.
It means double bock. It's just a malty lager.
Yeah. Oh, it's really good. Dark yet really smooth, right? Not bitter. It's kind of a little bit of a sweetness at the end there.
Yeah, it's not too bitter. Most of your really bitter beers are coming from America.
Yeah.
Across the pond.
Well, most of your bitter people are coming from America, too. So it
totally works.
To
All right, so what's the ABV on this?
I believe this is 6.7.
Okay.
A stab at that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
A little kick.
All right. It's got a little something going on there. And you do have to, that, by the way, is an important thing to do when you are ordering, and you should look at that because it's all on the menus now.
Right.
Because they want to make sure that you're, you know, that you're aware of it.
Sure.
Because, you know, you'll have like a beer and you're mm-hmm. like, oh my, and then I'm feeling it. Am I hot? Am I going to jump in the lake? What am I going to go do?
Feel like you want to go to Lollapalooza all of a sudden?
Yeah, what's going on there?
But because they've changed so much, haven't they? The alcohol content has shot up back in your day, Ro, where you were just explaining, what was it, like 4%?
3.2 if you want to buy it in Ohio. That was, you know,
that's all you could do.
3.2 and 4. It was 4.5. I mean, like Heineken was 4.5. You're like, yeah, let's get the Heineken.
Stuff, yeah.
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 So, all right, what's this? What's the red one?
Okay, so the second
for radio.
The second beer is a it's called Oud Kriek. It's from Hansen's, which is out of Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a kriek is a lambic, which is then aged in cherries.
Oh wow! Yeah,
a lambic is a spontaneously fermented wild ale with a probably 30-40% wheat base.
Okay.
It sounds like standing water, as you just described. But yeah.
So spontaneous fermentation means that instead of adding yeast to the final product to mm-hmm. create alcohol, instead they just have open vats with this uncarbonated beer in it, and they open the windows and let the yeast come in through the air.
This has got a wonderful flavor, though. I love
Chicago?
The cherry.
This
one
is not from Chicago.
There's one that there's a guy doing it's it nice. Here too, a cherry beer we had that for that Lincoln Square thing.
This That's is right. terrific.
Yeah,
this is something I feel like Robin Hood and his merry men would have toasted a victory with this right here. It's got that you know old world kind of mm-hmm. Flavor to it.
Your cheese sauce, by the way, is to die for. I mean, this is like the best queso ever.
It's my favorite thing at Hopcat outside of the beer, of course.
It's phenomenal.
I want to go back to this cherry beer. This is a it's hot really thing good. Right I really now, right? Like I mean, there's a lot of people doing cherry.
Cherry is definitely popular, probably because it's hot outside right now.
Right, it's good it seasonal of kind of deal.
Yeah.
And so how many, like, for example, since you have 130 on tap, how many are going to be of a specific type?
So the big part of my job with buying is kind of keeping a variance of styles. So it changes depending on the season. In the summer, we have more IPAs and wheats and light lagers.
Right.
And in the winter, we'll have a lot more stouts, porters, ambers, and browns. So there's always going to be stuff in all of those categories. We're always going to have something of everything. But, you know, if you go in right now, we've got 16 wheat beers on tap and probably only 5 or 6 porters and stouts.
Yeah, that's excellent. Wow. Congratulations on this. And Hopcat, everybody is, I hate to sound like the current politics, everybody's talking about it. But it is true. Up in Lincoln Park, I mean, it's become a huge destination.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole strip of Clark Street is, you know, kind of, you know, sort of had some boom times and some bust times, and it's really in a boom time moment now between Fullerton and Diversey. That whole turn there of Clark Street is really something. Mm-hmm. Lots of restaurants. And here's the best part, I think, for you at Hopcat. There's a bunch of BYOBs that have opened up on mm-hmm. your street that are, you know, great, great, great little restaurants. But you gotta go have a cocktail beforehand or afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Hopcat comes in, I would say. Very, very... If the police would just let you take the beer out and walk
just
across
walk
the street
it
with
over.
It, that would be okay,
Much
too.
Much simpler.
Yeah.
They don't allow that.
They're not there yet. We're not there yet. I'm talking to the alderman. I got
some pull over there.
Yeah.
You're getting serious critical praise as well. You got Beer Advocate magazine ranking you number 3 beer bar in the world. Craftbeer.com rating you number 2 beer bar in the United States. I mean, huge, huge.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
No big deal.
Really?
It's a huge deal, dude.
Yeah. Oh, and the Food Network says your French fries are the 10 best in the nation, which I'd agree. I would have to agree.
Now, you call That's them crack incredible. Fries. Because they're like crack. Is that the point?
Because they're like crack.
Yeah.
We also use crack black pepper, so there's a reason.
Yes. Well, that's the technical legal reason.
Yeah,
so that went before, you know, Mothers Against Crack decide that they want to march in front of you. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey,
pepper.
I will say, though, the pepper on fries is a great thing, but you got to have the right pepper. And you did it right. So congratulations to you on that as well. Wow.
So
this
good.
Is a big deal.
Delicious.
All right. So 130... I would like to go in there and count, like all 130.
Just to make sure.
This just drives me nuts. How do you keep all the lines from, you know, getting goofy?
Well, then, we do get our lines cleaned every other week. So
that's 130 lines. Are you aware of that, Doug?
They do them all at once. It's a sight to behold. It takes them hours and hours. They come in early in the morning and get done before we open.
Wow.
And we do have all the lines numbered, so we can keep them straight ourselves back there. But, you know, just a lot of training. We've got everybody ready to go with it.
It's a really cool thing because the restaurants, I mean, big bars and restaurants and stuff, where you used to have, maybe you had six handles, and then you were like, oh, my God, we got six.
Yeah, they're crazy there. Yeah, what's that one with the fist, and then there's another one with a goose? What's going on there?
Right, exactly.
That's crazy.
And the guys with six, they may have two sets of handles, and each have six, and they're like, we don't know what to do. We can't get... Sometimes the lines are down. We got to change
them. Yeah, usually two out of the six would be down.
Right.
If they had six.
Yeah. This dude's got 130 handles.
I know.
Wow.
Now, so do you keep them alphabetical so that the server... How do the servers know where to go for...
So we've got them all numbered on they're all numbered on the faucets and numbered on the menus. Oh. So if someone orders something, they can see where it goes. When it prints on a ticket, the number comes up.
Right.
So as long as I keep those updated.
How many guys
every
day. Pulling? How many guys you got back there? How many bartenders you got?
Friday night, three or four.
That's not enough.
No.
Well, they all have extremely long arms. It's part of the interview process. So you were, I see you play basketball in Turkey. You're 6'11". Okay, this is good.
Perfect.
Have to find people with a genetic mutation of an extra arm and have them work for you. Mr. I think Fantastic. It's the only way around it. Yeah.
Only Giannis Antetokounmpo really can do it done. Properly.
Well done. Well played.
Very well
Love
done.
Played.
All right, Hopcat, it's International Beard Day. You got to check them out. As Anna mentioned, it's getting rave reviews around the world, not just around the United States, and certainly around Chicago. So congratulations on all that. And if you want beer of any type, and let's just say there's always one guy in the group, and I could just name him on the show right now. I won't because it would be improper to call out Kevin Powell for this.
Oh, boy.
But when you go to a bar and everybody, you know, I want a double wheat, triple anger with a cherry side, and you can do it. And then and then he's like, I just want a Miller Lite. We can do that, right?
Folks, it's spelled different because it's brewed different.
So we don't have Miller Lite.
That reason, I'm out.
You know, I would say...
Like do you have my favorite craft beer, Dogfish Head, had 60 Minutes?
It is on tap right now.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Get
because
out.
Nobody has it. I can't find it.
Well, now there you go.
All right, we're going to Hopcat, guys.
Wait
got
a second.
Back.
How do they... How do you actually balance that between the Miller Lite and the Dogfish?
Well, I do Miller Lite about 95% of the time, but every once in a while, when I venture out and be a little crazy,
it's cool.
Why can I not say that? Dogfish Head 60 Minute is my favorite. So a lot of them have the 90 Minute, but it's like you're drinking, it's way too heavy. And then they have 120 Minute, which is basically like drinking, you know, a bourbon or something like that. But 60 Minute, that's a sweet spot right there. Okay. Very good.
Thank
IPA.
You. Thanks. Good. All right, so we have something for him. That's my point, is there's always going to be somebody who comes in.
Right. Sir, right. We have 130 beers on tap. Nothing you want?
I don't think the coldest Miller Lite you got.
Don't have it.
All right. Well, thanks again. 2577 North Clark Street, hopcat.com, Chicago, if you want, / Chicago. Are there Hopcats in other places?
There are 16 Hopcats across the Midwest right now.
So. Wow. Where did it start?
Grand Rapids, Michigan, just over 10 years ago.
That's a big beer town.
It is.
There's a ton of stuff. How many Grand Rapids products do you have on your taps?
I don't know the exact number right now. I know that
we've got a dozen really great breweries up there.
We have
I love Grand
Rapids. A number of Founders breweries or beers on tap right now. We've got Brewery Vivant on tap right now. So we're always... pouring the motherland at Hopcat.
Yeah, I can see what's going on pouring the motherland, right? And after you, actually, they'll write a song about it, and if people get drunk enough, they'll sing that song late at night, and then the next thing you know, it's in a movie 50 years from now. All right, Hopcat International Beer Day going on right now. Stop by Hopcat anytime over the weekend. Don't tell the kids from Lala, because they'll just make the place smell funny. Right? And they won't... And if they're on the Molly, it's way too many choices for them to figure out, you know, which hand to go.
Piercings get caught on the bar stool. Right, it's a whole thing.
It's a bad deal. All right.
Miller
thank you so
Lite.
Much. Thank you very much, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks for sharing.
All right. Back right at... Well, first of all, let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour.
A busy day for Governor Rauner.
Violetta? the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
But we are on the stream. Exclusively right now.
Mm-hmm.
So God knows what could happen. There could be some swears. There could be some other things that happen, technically. Because we're not on the TV either right now.
So no rules. Is
right.
that true?
Cool.
On the stream.
I have to come up with like some for some with some stream only regular features. Like, let me tell you what I really think about you. And everybody here can has 1 minute to say something to someone else.
No, no.
And you pick a name out of the hat. Okay, Judy. Yeah. Oh, no. Judy's got me. Oh no. Let me tell you what I really think about
Judy
you.
Would win that every time.
She
because
would.
Judy has thoughts on everyone at any given moment.
Can I remind everyone we nearly broke, the whole show nearly broke up over a conversation about Kylie Cosmetics earlier?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a bad idea for
Violetta was in tears, pretty much.
We had a bad Thanksgiving dinner moment.
It did. Right. You guys are just jealous. There's no...
Oh, Jesus.
She got up and she took her turkey and she went in the... I'll just eat mine in the kitchen. Wait,
I'm more mature than you guys, apparently, about that.
You know, here's experience, too. I'll tell you, the person that says, I'm more mature than everyone else is never.
They were acting like...
You're so immature. The person that says that is
so
always...
So immature.
All right, wait a second.
Here
you
we
know,
go.
In fairness,
bad idea
we were not respecting the Forbes estimation that Kylie Jenner is a nascent billionaire because that's not exactly how she personally is, and her business the business branded to her may well be close to $1 billion in terms of its valuation at the moment, but there will be others that come along, and as long as that brand is hot, and the Kardashian brand, you know, eventually will be usurped by some new thing that comes up. It always does. Remember when we thought Paris, you could not, there was no chance Paris Hilton was going to go down.
Well, there's a tape.
But then she got usurped by the Kardashians, by Kim Kardashian.
By her own assistant.
Right.
Which is, you know.
Yeah, remember The Simple Life with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you didn't know who Kim Kardashian was?
And they used to make fun of Kim because she couldn't get into the parties that they would go to.
She was sort of their stylist and everything.
Yeah.
And now you look at it and you're like, what happened to Paris?
Yeah, that would be somebody else. You're right.
No one was doubting that.
Suri Cruz, like in 7 years or something like that, would be the
We should start our own makeup line.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Great idea, Kevin.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis makeup line.
It's so easy,
why
right?
Not?
Why don't you guys do that?
We'll prove to Violetta that we can do
it. Right. Yeah, can't
wait. But you're right, though. She doesn't have... If she wanted to buy the Dallas Mavericks and someone else said, okay, I got $1 billion. Do you have the other billion? She wouldn't be able to say, let me get that other billion out of my personal funds.
Right.
She wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. All of the Kardashians together.
I think they're doing well.
It's a good number.
Yeah. Well, now, they could buy an NBA team anyway. Then they wouldn't have to go to other cities to date. They'd have their own farm system. So maybe they would want to do that.
Your farm system for boyfriends.
They should just have the cutest team. You know what they could do? They could birth an NBA
Blake
team.
Griffin
is what they could do.
And,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just bet the Warriors.
We just bet the Warriors.
Fantastic.
I'm dating Steph first. then Draymond. Steph.
Wow.
We could have another LA basketball team.
I'm over you guys. This is the worst.
I'm dating Klay Thompson.
Oh my gosh.
What would they call the team?
The prenups.
All right. Let's now check out Judy. She's got WTN News coming your way in 2 minutes.
The recent one.
Kessler and Nelson. It's Live Music Friday, and you're listening to WGN on the stream, whether you're listening through your TuneIn app, or you're listening on the web, or you're listening through the WGN mobile app. The show continues as the White Sox are on 720 AM. All right, and this, it's really interesting. We've got three harmonicas and 15 guys. I don't know. They're all sharing a harmonica. Not quite sure how this is going to work. It's really going to be
35 beers, so now.
See how things go.
It's going to be something, and stay tuned for this, because it's really very, very, very interesting. I had no idea that you could get this kind of a sound out of the harmonica just by you know, putting more. I've only seen one guy with a harmonica ever on stage at a time in the middle of a band, right? You know, just trying to make the something happen.
What's better than one harmonica? Three.
Yeah.
True.
That's, well,
we're breaking a blue law in Chicago. I believe there was always an ordinance that if three harmonica players gather at a space at a given time, we have to have, like, you know, some member of clergy and some member of government and a mobster to sanctify.
Or it was a funeral.
No question.
I mean, it was the only reason if there three harmonicas showed up somewhere.
Died, three harmonicas had to fill in.
Right. That's the only time that was that you never have that. But these guys are going to be playing at, I mean, Irish bars, right? Isn't that what you really need this for?
Yeah.
Catch James Conway every Thursday at the Corrib. And that's on Elston, 5500 North Elston, 5522 North Elston, to be specific. You know what? I have been to, now I was asking about this, I realize I have been to this bar. The back of this bar, there's a room, there's a specialty room back there. I know you'd find this hard to believe, but a lot of Chicago cops hang out at this bar.
At the Corrib, yeah, that's true. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of cops that live in there.
Yeah, that's true. And I have
that's a river in Galway. Is that what the pub is named after, I believe, the Corrib.
Yeah, after an Irish river, the Corrib River.
Yeah, the Corrib River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not what the cops say. And then at the spa, that's it, by the way, the Society for the Preservation and Advancement of the Harmonica.
Like, you need to clarify.
Chicks don't rush the stage.
Yes, really? I don't think so.
Hello, that's sexy as hell.
Yeah, okay.
But I have to ask, like, these harmonica experts, do you sometimes, you know, kind of scoff? Because there's a tradition in rock and pop. You know, there's always that lead singer that doesn't play any instruments, and then he pretends he's got one song, or it's like the Dylan thing. When he just hits one note on the harmonica, sing some more. I mean, are they really playing the harmonica?
That's a good Dylan.
It was good Dylan.
But you know what I mean? Though, like, they whip out the harmonica for one song. You get these guys, you know.
Doesn't really bother.
You're okay. You know, you're tangled up in blue.
Well, it does. I mean, it does give their harmonica some, like, broad appeal. Right. Yeah. I mean, let's face it.
That's where I probably first heard it. Right. You know, Beatles Love Me Do or a Dylan thing or
Sugar Blue, right?
When Sugar Blue is incredible. Yeah.
Chicago's very own Sugar Blue, who was on the Rolling Stones.
Jim took lessons from
him. Sugar Blue is incredible. I would like to say that Sugar Blue, I once saw him on Halsted Street
over by all the clubs there, by the Wrigleyville?
Yes, in the Blues. It'll come to me in just a second here. Kingston Mines, thank you. Oh, yeah. I like to say that because you always have to say that and be pretentious. Every kid from Winnetka in the 1980s was like, I was at the Kingston Mines. And they were wearing a pink T-shirt and yellow jacket, unconstructed jacket, and go, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I saw a black man playing a harmonica.
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
But
we're streaming.
I went to a Sugar Blue show. And he's amazing, but I sat right next to his amp, and I still can't hear out of my right ear. I mean, it was just amazingly piercing.
He plays loud.
He does play loud. He's amazing. Well,
but Jim worked over at Rose's, where he played all the time.
So you took lessons from him, did you say?
Little micro lessons in between sets.
How cool.
I used to be the doorman at Rose's, great West Side Blues Club.
Uh-huh.
Cool. And Junior Wells when he was still alive, and Ed Sugar. And yeah, I got a lot of little techniques from them that they shared.
Sure. How long have you guys been playing the harmonica in order to get to this level?
I've been playing for about 35 years, I think.
Oh, so you were a kid.
Forever.
Yeah,
since my teen years, so just 10 years.
Oh, wow.
I actually saw Bob.
How dare you?
Our very own Bob Kessler.
Yes.
I saw him at Martyrs. Playing with Great Moments in Vinyl.
Yeah.
Right?
The Allman Brothers.
During the Allman Brothers show.
Oh, nice.
And they had him come up there, and I'm like, how do I know that guy? And then all of a sudden you're just killing it on the harmonica.
Wow.
And I'm like,
awesome.
Isn't that one of our news guys? I don't ever see Judy doing that.
We've never met.
So it was a crazy, kind of
an Anchorman sort of moment.
Sure. Yeah, I never see Judy, you know, blowing on a harmonica in the middle of a, you know.
Yeah, Judy, what do you play?
Music club.
I could do it if I had to.
Well, everybody could do it.
Well, what's your point then?
Well, I've just never seen you do it on stage.
How would it sound?
I will do it.
Sounds like a challenge.
It does.
Down.
It does. All right, guys, stand down. We'll get back to you in a minute. Conway, Kessler, and Nelson are here. We have some amazing harmonica coming for you, and it's going to surprise you. Yeah. What it's almost sounds like the Chicago Symphony Orchestra by the time they're done with it. You have to be way drunk, but it might sound like the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. All right. Now, Richard Roper is doing something here that I think is particularly interesting.
What have I done?
You have done something that I think requires me to ask a few questions. You are now reviewing. You're one of the most important film critics, not only in the nation but on the globe. Right? You turn on the TV, you see a commercial.
People.
Well, you turn on a commercial, and Richard Roper says, right? I mean, basically, the guys from Deadpool 2 built an entire commercial around your review, right? So that's a big deal. So, you know, in the cinematic world, you are a name. You're important. You've been on all the big shows. And then now I see that you're reviewing and getting the most traction you've had in years on this stupid Being a Cavalieri show.
I am reviewing Very Cavalieri. I've added that to the repertoire, which is not, you know, that a popular move with a lot of the indie filmmakers who are like, you can't find room for this labor of love I've done about, you know, the harvest. No, I'm sorry. I've got to, you know, reserve 1,000 words a week for Very Cavalieri because I'm fascinated by it, mainly because of the presence of Jay Cotler, who's in each episode. For people who don't know, Kristen Cavallari from The Hills and Laguna Beach, and now it's all about her life in Nashville, launching her Uncommon James brand of home goods and jewelry, because you want to get your home goods and your jewelry in the same brick-and-mortar store. And it's a lot of it is about Kristen and Taylor and Brittany and Shannon and the other Taylor and Brittany and all their little catfighting. I don't care about any of that. I just like when Jay shows up. Retired Jay, who dresses like an 11-year-old's vision of what a 35-year-old man would dress like. Camo clothes, baseball cap on backwards, unshaven, and doesn't do anything except for just comment on K-Cav's life.
Very similar to his Bears career.
Yes, it's amazing. So if you thought he didn't care, you were right. And that's the fascinating part. You know, a lot of athletes, they retire and they go, I'm going to immediately start building schools in the neighborhood where I come from, or I'm going to go into broadcasting, or I'm going to get my master's degree, or I want to give back to the community, maybe work for the organization that, you know, that helped me out. Jay's not doing any of that. Nothing. And when his wife says, well, what is your plan? He goes, my plan is to do a whole lot of nothing. Because he signed some big contract. He made $120 million.
I know, it's incredible.
Apparently has most of it. So they don't really need money. So he just like
because he didn't care about spending it either, which is good.
Don't care. Not interested in traveling, seeing the world,
no.
Anything like that. So his days basically revolve around. He picks up the kids at school at 2 p.m. and then he has the rest of the day and the night free. And whenever she asks him if she'd let, you know, do you want to come with me to the party for? No, I'll stay home. I'll just be here. And that's his whole mojo on the show is to do nothing.
Disinterested in everything. And I like how the Chiron, the graphic, describes him as Kristen's husband.
Jay, Kristen's husband. He's always described, no matter
really
what.
Get his own thing. But does he just sort of like act disinterested and roll his eyes? I haven't seen the
episode. He comments on a lot of it. Yeah, he just walks in and she'll say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And he'll say, you know, why don't you just fire everybody on your staff? Or he wanted to move to a new place, a farm with goats and chickens, because he's really into goats and chickens and deer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but that's 45 minutes from where I have to work every day. And he's like, that's not my problem. He goes, well, you could like listen to your music when you're in the car driving to work every day.
So he's going out, basically in Middle Tennessee, he's going to get a farm.
Yeah, with chickens and goats.
Right, he's going to water the chickens. We learned this.
He's going to water the chickens.
I have a press release here in front of me, actually.
Okay.
On Sunday's all-new episode of Very Cavalieri,
The
retired quarterback steps up into the role of boss while his wife is away in Los Angeles.
Uh-oh.
And Kristen's employees are not thrilled about it.
That doesn't seem contrived at all. Like, they didn't, like, make that up for the show, right?
What's the word?
What's going on?
Boss is out of town, making sure you guys are staying in line.
God.
Well, at least someone's working around here.
Me.
That'd be you.
Thank you.
See, you were probably late, probably.
I wasn't late.
I don't even need to believe that for a second.
His kids are too young for him to be really mean to him yet, so he just, like, needs to have some outlet for that.
And it's us.
It's me.
Or you.
I think he like had like a second grade teacher that like spanked him or put him in the corner one time that was like a redhead or something, and he's just like scarred for the rest of his life.
Okay, can I say something?
Oh my God.
I must say something.
Okay, yeah. Please.
If I in 1990 were kidnapped and I was shown the future
by aliens from another planet. And they said, you're not going to believe, first of all, Donald Trump, the guy from Lifestyles Rich and Famous, could be president of the United States.
Right.
Right?
That'd be up there.
Right. That would be one of the things. And I go, no, no, it's not possible. They said, here's what hit television is going to look like in the year 2018. And it's kind of crazy because it's, when you watch it, when you see, I mean, because they're pretty people, so you're like, you're watching for the pretty people. But when you actually stop, you close your eyes and you listen like we just did.
Oh, my God, yes, indeed, yes.
It's like, how is this possibly interesting to people, other than they're pretty and they're gonna do pretty jewelry?
That's right? Exactly, yeah. Yeah, if you don't have the visuals. And I think it's a lot of it is people feel better about themselves watching these idiots in their lives. You know, you're like, look at these dimwits. I mean, like, the idea that anybody on that show would ever say something like, hey, you know, I read this book.
Yeah, no.
Or I know what a book is. So you're watching at home, and you're like, oh, my Lord. And you feel better because, you know, you think, okay, they've got everything except for the brain part. It's like the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz, you know, with just Botox.
This is a hit also, I think, because it's attracted the normal reality show female audience. But then for some reason, it seems like football fans and, like, guys are watching this because I see them on social media talking about what happened in the episode.
Well, it's because Jay Cutler never gave anything to the media. He would give one-word answers at the press conferences. And the typical fans saw his, you know, his body language, his demeanor on the sidelines. He looked like he didn't care. And now all of that is reinforced when you see him sloughing about the house in his sweats and his slip-ons and just sort of, he watches on his iPad deer feeding. He loves watching deer because there are cameras around the property and he's naming the deer. This is the extent of his world interest at this point, at the age of like 35. You know, he's got like 50 years ahead of him of being that guy. And he likes to, you know, he'll bring in like elk meat and all the things that he goes, you know, hunting for.
Well, they just bought, it was announced, $4.2 million mansion in the Nashville.
Yeah, that's
suburbs.
The little country fixer-upper they got. They sold that mansion for $9 million.
That's right. And now they've
moved
into
this little country cottage that's $4 million.
With the goats and the farm animals. It's right by Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman and Justin Timberlake. So Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. So they've got a lot of celebrity neighbors.
So he's not living in Kankakee
This is not like a farm. I mean, this is
because it's beautiful down there, rolling hills.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All
the house they sold was on this property. I don't know how many acres. There was nowhere within miles of that.
But the house they sold for 9.2, is that near Keith Urban or is that where this poop kicker they're going to move into going to be near them?
This one. Franklin, Tennessee is where the new one is.
Yeah.
Oh, Franklin. Everybody's going down to Franklin.
Yeah, they carve these homes into the sides of these beautiful mountains there.
10,000 square feet.
So, you know, there's going to be episodes where they don't get invited to Justin Timberlake's Halloween party or something like that.
You can see the story arcs, can't you? It's getting fascinating.
And these girls are all 35 years old, and they still talk like they're on The Bachelor. Oh, my God.
She hasn't lived in L.A. in how long? She still talks?
Oh, yeah, and all of her friends, too. And they all are. They all are plucked from the same box of pretty white girls.
What you doing today?
Pretty much looking at it.
Yeah?
We're seeing this operation.
Jesus.
Ladies, who do you think launched this empire?
Oh, yeah, you did used to fill this stuff.
Yeah. You're looking at him.
Didn't he say I built this empire?
Oh, God. He thinks he owns half of this company, and he does not.
Yeah.
That is not on our non-existent prenup.
Cutler's not on it.
Oh. I give this 5 years.
Oh.
I don't mean the show. I mean the marriage.
Oh.
I'd say that the show goes another two, and the marriage dissolves somewhere around that period.
It's hard to see what she sees in him, even through all the kidding, because she is actually very ambitious and has always worked hard, you know, all the stuff she does, and he doesn't want to do anything. And I think, there's going to be some point where she's going to be like, you know.
Right. Because she's going to meet other people who are similarly ambitious. And
exactly. And interested in the same things. She calls him, her nickname for him is Les Mis, because he's so miserable all the time.
Really?
Yes. She's like, I'm Les Mis. And he's like, whatever. That's cool. That's fine.
And the thing is, if this were an act, I'd be like, oh, no, they're going to be fine. But it's not an act.
You don't get that sense that this is an act at all.
No, I get a sense that this is really who the dude is, and this is where it's all going to be.
Yeah.
So now I feel so much better about the fact that we've got Mitchell Trubisky as the quarterback of the Bears.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. There's never any mention. He couldn't care less that he never lived up to his potential, that he never won a big game. There's never any conversation about that. There's almost no football memorabilia, certainly no conversations.
What memorabilia would he have?
Well, he won a game at Vanderbilt, I know, at one point, I think. You know,
something
the Magnolia Bowl or something like that. But yeah, none of that. You know, there seems to be none of that. No interest in that. He's not even like, you think he'd be at the very least like, you know, coaching a Pee Wee team because that'd be a fun, nothing. He can't get off the couch, man. That's it.
Oh, God.
And that's why it's fascinating.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, God bless the Cavaliers. It's a very Cavalier.
It's a hit show, though, isn't it? I mean, like, it's really.
Yeah.
I mean, the first episode, I think, did okay, and then it just kept shooting up afterwards. Yeah. So people are watching it. People watch it.
Okay.
Look, you know, like Rose says, people tune in every week to watch people we don't care about dancing. All of a sudden, now we care about them because they're dancing. You're like, oh, I remember that person, sort of, doing the sort of dance that no one does anywhere ever, and people watch it.
Ever.
that is totally true.
I remember the first time I was at ABC and I saw them doing the promo. Like, you know, this is one of the shows coming to the phone. I'm like, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. People are going to lose their jobs, and this is why we're not programming television shows. Because people wanted to see Tony Danza and, you know, somebody
brother.
Who won the bronze medal, you know,
was
in the luge,
brother who won it
skating,
all.
And
right.
dancing.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, not
no,
even Nick Lachey.
I know. Well, or when The Bachelor started, or How to Marry a Millionaire, or whatever that thing was. Remember Fox did that, where they faked up a guy who was like a fake millionaire, and he was trying to, was basically trying to catfish
Joe
women,
Millionaire.
Right?
Oh,
and it was like, and you're like, oh, well, this is these kinds of shows. I go, this is doing more to destroy the institution of marriage in America than I have. And that was, and it's a gigantic hit. The Bachelor and Bachelorette are in their like 30th season.
Yeah. The Bachelor.
They bring people back. You know, hey, the moron who didn't get picked last season is now the Bachelor. And they always put the jobs where, like, you know, owns a pharmaceutical company. No, he doesn't. He's been on this show for 4 years.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stretching of reality.
And there's no dental hygienist working in the dental offices anymore because they're all on the Bachelor shows. Missy, dental hygienist.
All right. Well,
so there you go.
I don't know. I don't know. Well, I mean, actually, Corinne Olympios is now one of the more famous ones because of what Sacha Baron Cohen did to her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
By getting her to agree to support children soldiers in Africa, child soldiers. All right.
Okay. It's like tricking a toy poodle. How hard is it?
I don't know. All right. Well, we
go see Blind Spotting at the theaters. There.
Okay.
All right. How
Thank
about
you,
that,
Richard?
Yeah. Did you want to just very quickly
and
before
Mission
we go
Impossible
to shooting?
Fallout is terrific as well. Go see that.
And Christopher Robin.
And Christopher Robin is a very sweet fairy tale that's in theater. So there you go.
I missed the whole. Pardon me for just going backwards here for a second, but I did miss last week your review of Mission Impossible.
Yeah, 3.5 stars. We loved it.
Great.
And we had a chance to talk to Henry Cavill, who turns out is English, you know, even though he plays Superman. Turns out he's a Brit, as we found out.
Turns out that they all are, right?
Yes. But yeah, Mission Impossible Fallout, very, very, maybe the best in the franchise. One of the few times in movie history where the sixth entry in a franchise is the best.
Wow.
That almost never happens.
And please don't be mad when I ask this question, but do we understand what's going on in it?
You do. I mean, there are times where it gets really, really complicated, but one of the cool things is it's written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who won an Oscar for writing his script for The Usual Suspects. So when you have someone with that much talent behind the movie, it elevates it to something more than just an action film.
Although, that does not help me, because I'm still not 100% sure what happened in The
Kaiser
Usual Suspects.
Kaiser Soze, you're a little worried about that. Watch it backward. They'll actually work out really well.
Because Kaiser Soze became president of the United States, right? Isn't that what happened?
You need to watch that again.
I'm a little confused. All right, Judy, are you standing by? Can you take us through the WGN news right now?
To the news? Or Yes.
Yes, we can do that. And then we've got Conway Kessler and Nelson live music for you. We got harmonicas. Who knew the harmonica could be hip again? It's here, and wait till you hear it. It sounds like an orchestra.
And any time, I'll be happy to play it.
Make harmonicas great again.
Now the news.
Oh, thank you, Judy. And we are live on the stream, on the WGN stream. However you are listening to us, you know you have options. However you're doing it now, there are other options. If you're on the go, let's say you're listening on your computer, your laptop right now, there is an option for getting into your car and listening on your phone. by and then running that through your speakers. You could do that with the WGN Radio app, or you could do that on TuneIn or any of the other fine places where WGN Radio can be found. There are so many. It's the Wild Wild West now. And then, of course, we will be back on Monday on the 7:20 a.m.
That's right.
Right? That's how that goes. From 3 to 7.
Yeah.
All right. We have, it's Live Music Friday. So we have Conway Kessler and Nelson with us. This is James Conway, Bob Kessler, Graham Nelson, and they are, they're harmonicans.
What is the official name for the harmonica player? Is there a harmonica?
I kind of like harmonicans. I want to coin that.
I like that, too.
Sometimes harmonicist.
Harmonicist? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fancy.
Mouth organist.
Mouth organist, yes.
That can get a little.
We are on the screen.
Yeah, I know what I did actually see that film, and it was really something. All right, now let's talk a little bit about the harmonica. Just the in terms of the music that you guys play when you're together, a lot of it is like the Irish stuff, right?
Some of it, not.
I do a lot of Irish harmonica. My original instrument was the Irish tin whistle, and then, but decades ago, I transferred all the jigs and reels over to the harmonica.
Want to demonstrate a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Here's an Irish jig.
There you go.
We're dancing already.
I just know that right now, all of a sudden, I feel like it's really beautiful and sunny outside, but it's 32 degrees because it's the middle of March. That's the sense that I just got from that.
St. Patty's Day.
Yeah. And that's really about the only time, either that or a funeral, is the only time I really get into the Irish music. I'll be honest with you. But I was listening to you guys as we were setting up for this, and it's very, very entertaining stuff. All right.
Amazing.
So, green onions. You guys want to do green onions? Yeah. You want to try that?
It's an old Irish one.
All right. Exactly right.
Greener.
Yeah. Take it away. Kessler and Nelson.
Wow.
That's pretty wild.
The sounds you can make with three harmonicas. Could you ever imagine?
Well, actually, one of them has three harmonicas in his hand, which is really... I can't quite figure out how you're working that whole thing out.
And one of you looks like you have a bass harmonica.
It's a huge
harmonica that's like a double-decker. Uh-huh.
And it's not only that, it's been customized, too. So this bass, you want to tell us about your bass?
Yeah, this was a double-decker, and then it was from the 50s. I played... Ooh. this in the Grapes of Wrath opera at Northwestern. They had a guy wrote a harmonica part for that opera. So I'm sitting there with these orchestral players, and I'm still remembering, how do you read music and look at a conductor? Oh, yeah. So I remember now.
Because the harmonica is a very improvisational instrument, yeah, right?
But you can play, you can read music on it just like anything else. And so I was playing that, and I had this beat-up old thing I got on eBay, and then I got it customized. So this is a whole... everyone can see on the stream this metal thing here. So
that your mouth is on.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful. It's a beautiful.
It's
instrument.
A lovely thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are these expensive items?
This was pretty pricey, but one of these. This is just an old. It's a Big River. I think $20. You know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's the player, not the.
And you have to go to a pawn shop to buy them, right? Isn't that the best place to buy them? As opposed to
you ask to borrow someone's used harmonica. Of course, yes, you know that's exactly what you do.
No,
that has some mojo. It comes with some mojo in it.
How do you clean the harmonica? Just since we're talking about
that, you light it on fire and buy a new one.
Yeah, there really is no good way. There is no good way to, because when I was a kid, my parents they gave me, I don't know where they got it. They got a harmonica that had the two different tones in it with the button and all that. And so I would play with it, and then I realized it would just have like crust on it, and it was like, how does one clean it? And then my mom decided she cleaned it by just putting it in bleach, and then I was paralyzed for 3 weeks after trying to play it the next time. So bad, you know. And there are many stories of my childhood I can only tell on the stream. I can't actually tell on the radio.
No, it tells us a lot about you, Ro.
All right, and the Society for the Preservation and Advancement of the Harmonica convention is coming up in a couple of weeks in St. Louis, right? And are you guys going to do that together?
I'm going, actually. I've been going every year for about 16 years, doing workshops, teaching.
How big is it?
It's about 500 people. Yeah.
And everybody's mostly working musicians, or just anybody who digs it?
There are a lot of professional working musicians there, mostly just, you know, amateur players. And the blues. Our harmonica is always tends towards the blues.
Right.
So most of the players are doing 12-bar blues and stuff, but you got people doing... You know, classical concertos on the harmonica.
Wow.
Guys doing jazz and Bulgarian music and
Bulgarian music. All of a sudden, Violetta's interested.
She's like, wait a minute, I know this.
Now, did your dad ever represent a Romanian harmonica band by any chance?
We've had a harmonicist, and they pair well with accordions.
Right, the accordions are in your culture.
We have some Hungarian Bulgarian mix that come do live music.
It seems to me like the accordion is just like a gigantic version of our harmonica anyway, right? Isn't it?
It actually is, yeah.
Yeah.
We try to imitate the accordion with tongue techniques.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Tongue techniques.
That's why we're so coveted.
That's a tongue twister.
Yes, exactly. Right. That is. They're very popular after the gig, if you know what I mean. It works out really well for them.
The lead singer.
I was doing my tongue up there, ladies?
Right. Lead singer, the drummer, and the harmonica player, it turns out.
I can make anything sound pretty much like a harmonica.
This is stream talk right here. Yeah. Getting dirty on the radio.
All right, let's do we are on the stream. I mean, I guess anything goes.
Uh-huh,
what you want to do? Walking on the Moon? This is the Walking on the Moon I know, right? This is
it
what
is.
You're doing? All right.
Yeah.
As it were done by a harmonica.
wishing my days away. But you say, if it's the price I pay, you say, tomorrow is another day. You say, we may as well play.
Something right
that
there.
That's
pretty.
Graham Nelson on the tongue vocals.
Seriously, Sting. It's like you just heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not easy to do.
I thought he walked in here for a second.
I did too.
I'm like, where in the hell is Sting?
I looked up. I thought we had harmonica players, and then there it was.
Sting's been known to play that song for 6 hours straight without stopping. I don't know if you know that.
I don't doubt it. Actually,
maybe do on FaceTime. Maybe after this broadcast of Find Me, we'll just sing it back and forth for 6 hours.
Yeah.
It's a tantric thing, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, he does everything for 6 hours at a time, right? Just has Trudy, or whatever her name is. Her name is Judy by the time, because he's got no tongue technique left. All right, hold on. We'll be back. We're going to add a guitar. Thank you very much. We're going to add a guitar to this because we can, because it's a stream and we're allowed to do it. So stay right here. It's Conway Kessler and Nelson coming your way in 2 minutes. All right, we're back with Conway Kessler and Nelson. They are going to be, you can catch James Conway, by the way, every Thursday at the Corrib Irish Pub. That's 5522 North Elston Avenue in Chicago. And they are going to be I guess it's just James also, right? At the spa, the big convention of Harmonicats. Well, that's actually a band, though, the Harmonicats, isn't it?
Right.
So that, so we can't. I know this because it used to be the one thing that Larry King would have on every Friday night. Harmonicats are coming up, along with Benjamin Tutu. Nelson Tutu. No, wait, what was his name?
Who knows? Ask him.
And then Graham Nelson, who you heard do a pretty great sting right there, Chicago Jazz Festival, August 31st
Amazing.
To September 3rd at Millennium Park.
So when's Lala, you guys? When are you going to be, next summer? That's going to be next summer.
Lala,
okay, good. We need a good harmonica band.
Stay off the Molly.
Yeah.
The kids would totally be tripping out to this.
Yeah, let me just say one thing, though. You never know. I mean, that's the one crazy thing about Lala, because there is all of a sudden there's like a step dancer, and you're like, what is he doing here? am I seeing that?
Like a magician out of nowhere?
Is this really water? What's going on? Yeah.
It's a lot of that.
It's a crazy thing. All right, well, now we're going to do a little Watermelon Man here. We brought the guitar in, so we hope that this works as well. And we're experimenting with all of this right now because we can, because it's, you know, this is like experimental radio from the 1960s. This is like when the FM was invented. This is what it all sounded
back
like.
Back in the beginning of the FMs.
Yes, exactly. All right, take it away. Oh,
There you have it. I
fantastic.
Never felt more like I was on NPR than I do right this moment.
Our producer Jeff said it made him want to watch an episode of Roseanne. Is what he came up with. Oh. You know, the opening song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no.
Juke Logan, great player. Juke Logan on that.
Was that who it was?
Can you play it? The Roseanne
he's
thing.
He's just doing, I guess, what we call gestures. You know, he's just kind of going.
Okay.
A melody. I don't remember.
We've learned a lot of things here. We have gestures. Yeah. We have tongue technique. We've got a lot of things going on here that we never thought about.
Need to know.
And I feel like we've heard about all this before, but in a different context.
Now it's been applied to a harmonica.
Exactly. That's what we're doing.
Lifestyles classes in everyday life.
That is really true. That's really true. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Conway,
guys.
Conway, Kessler, and Nelson. And we want to thank the people joining us on the stream right now as we finish out the our duly appointed rounds here until 7 o'clock, and we'll be back on Monday. You get your full afternoon on Monday of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Have a great weekend. We'll see you then.
Have a good weekend.